welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. How say you, America? What's on your mind? 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Funny sound effect.
Wow, this is a first for you running late.
Bald Brian.
Jack Silver had some problems.
Really?
Bald Brian running a little bit late. I was running a little bit late this
Literally
morning.
Running.
Literally running.
I was sitting here all alone thinking this is going to be the worst show ever.
I was doing the old man run, too, because I was carrying a cup of coffee that's open. And when you hold, if you want to know how old people jog, carry an open container and jog. That's what you look like. You don't have to balance it under your hand. You just hang on to it.
Right.
Take a coffee mug, fill it about three quarters of the way up with coffee, and then attempt to jog, like from your car somewhere. That's what old people look like when they're jogging. They don't lift their feet very high. They don't spring too much. They kind of slide. It's technically running, but it's really like fast walking.
I appreciate how much you needed to protect your coffee.
I really did need to protect the sanctity of the coffee. Ah, all right. What do we... Oh, sorry. I'm trying to get my stool to lift off that. There we go. Hey, we're going to do a little Evil Adam, by the way, coming up. Something we started out at the Playboy Mansion a couple of days back.
That was the thing. Lynch and I were trying to figure out what you did at the mansion for Evil Adam.
Uh-huh.
Which topics you had covered so we can get some more going.
I think I'll remember.
Uh-huh. Well, people can call in, too. We'll get into that. 866-901-ADAM. Now it's How Say You.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
Speaking of Jack, he'll be happy. I guess we're back in the cooch business today.
Jack Silver.
Yeah.
We got a penthouse pet coming in here. Oh, she's pet of the year. She's the penthouse pet of the year. And I am featured in this article, as is Danny Bonaducci. So you get penthouse pet of the year if you go ahead and buy the 08 pet of the year issue. And then you get me, and you get Ducci, and I think there's even a there's a four-page spread of from Frosty Honey
oh
Frank
God.
In here too. Yeah,
just one picture though.
Mm-hmm. Jason,
come on,
it's one picture.
Come on.
Jason.
Yes.
What's happening?
Oh, angry at you, Adam. Hopefully you'll let me get this out real quick. But I've been following you.
Hold on one second. Let me say this. First off, do I ever not let anyone say the negative things they want to say?
Are we allowed to answer honestly?
Yes.
No. Let me get this straight. You just cut off Jason.
I did.
To explain how you don't cut people off.
I did, yes. I know it's ironic, but there's
that.
You know, once in a while you get that. I know you tell your phone screener to screen out all the calls
no,
that whatever, and I know you won't talk to, and you always avoid. And I know if Teresa disagrees with you, you're not going to blah, 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 blah. We never have any of those conversations. So if you have anything negative to say, A, you will be put up first most of the time, and B, you will be given time to say it. So go ahead, Jason.
No, that's not what I meant. I didn't think you weren't going to take this call. But as I said, been a loyal follower for about 15 years, my friends and I, and listened through all the good stories and bad stories when you were on Loveline, you know, like how you and Lynette broke up after you first got engaged and all that stuff. And I do have to admit that I did dog you out to Stern years ago about you crying at your wedding because Kimmel was going blabbing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Now, I mean, you, Kimmel.
Mm. Huh? That wasn't us.
He cut himself off?
What?
Oh, okay. You're back.
You're back.
We
yes.
lost you.
I don't know what happened. But you, Kimmel, to, you know, and somebody, you know, dropped a nickel, Dr. Drew. You guys have all gotten to Hollywood. Walking red carpets, reality shows, kissing Hollywood butt.
Mm-hmm.
What Kimmel said years ago, that you guys created the Man Show
mm-hmm.
to go against the Oprahs and the Views and all these shows
mm-hmm.
about this, and now you're on Dancing with the Stars, you're going on Oprah. What's next?
Well,
are you
we lost.
Be like Dancing with Ellen and changing Larry King's diapers?
Ooh,
it's getting ridiculous.
From your mouth to God's ears. Or how about dancing while I change Larry King's diaper? Well, walking down red carpets, I've never done. I mean, it happens on very rare occasion. Here's the long and the short of the Dancing with the Stars. I have a movie that is coming out Oh, well, by the way, it's coming out on the 21st of March. It was going to come out on the 7th of March. And then when I found out about this Dancing with the Stars business, we moved it to the 21st of March. Why? Because Dancing with the Stars comes out on like the 17th or the 18th. I have an independent movie. I put 2 years of my life into this independent movie, and I paid several hundred thousand dollars of my own money to launch this independent movie, to distribute this independent movie when others wouldn't, or if they would, they were going to take the lion's share of the money. So I stand to lose several hundred thousand dollars in the next 5 weeks. I jumped at this opportunity, and I can't say if I would have done it if I didn't have this movie. I still may have done it, but I certainly jumped at it because press is coming out of the woodwork, and I have a small independent movie, and for launching a small independent movie and getting on Dancing with the Stars in the same week, essentially, that is a mitzvah, as Teresa's people would say. That is manna from heaven. Everybody who does an independent movie with a cast of no one you've ever heard of and a budget under $1 million that is actually a very good movie, and especially who's paying for it himself, would love to have this kind of publicity. So that's one of the main reasons I'm jumping on it. The other main reason is, as much as you like to make fun of dancing, and I love to make fun of dancing as much as the next guy, it is a very serious physical competition. You know, it's not boxing with the stars, but it's not much off of it. I mean, in terms of time and calories burnt. I mean, it's very involved. So I look at it as sort of a competition. All right.
As do Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, and many other athletes who've gone before you.
Jason?
Yes.
All right, you satisfied?
Well.
All right.
Jason, if I may. He's busting chops, but as a fan of yours, I know that he will love the hammer when he sees it. He's in Sacramento. I don't know if it's opening there on the 21st.
Good question.
But when he sees it, he will love it.
Yeah, I think it is opening in Sacramento. You know what? Go to MySpace and go to hammerthemovie.com or whatever it is. You know, guys know how to work the computer.
The kids will figure it out.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. And the thing is if it wasn't a good, there's no way I was going to bust my ass for 3 or 4 years writing the movie and doing the movie and stuff and then have it go straight to DVD because Hollywood was too busy putting their sizable fortunes behind Good Luck Chuck and The Heartbreak Kid and other flaming turds that you guys get to watch and be disappointed by. This movie, in my opinion, is every bit as good as any of those other endearing, independent little, you know, Miss Sunshines and Junos, although I think Juno's probably cut above both our movies, but certainly your Waitresses is T don't like that.
I put it on a par with Waitress.
Thanks, sweetie P. Let's see. But, Bridge, Sharon, let me ask this.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Is this High Pitch Eric?
Yes, it is. How are you?
What's happening, High Pitch?
I don't know. This is the real High Pitch.
Yeah. High Pitch Eric from the Howard Stern Show. Yes.
Yes. How are you, buddy? I want to say see how you were doing. I love you. I love when you call Howard.
Yeah.
Dude, I love you and Jimmy. You and Jimmy are amazing.
Thank you, High Pitch.
Hey, no problem. And, you know, something, when are you going to go on Howard's show again?
Geez, I don't know. I'm always ready for it. I mean, you know, Howard doesn't do a ton of reaching out. You reach out to Howard, and my problem is I'm lazy. So it's a weird thing. Like, Jimmy does reaching out. Jimmy's a reacher-outer. Jimmy sends a lot of emails, invites a lot of people to a lot of parties, does a lot of events. I sort of sit around the house and wait for people to invite me to their parties.
Well, don't do that, because people love when you call up Howard and talk to them.
Well, I should. You know, I think Stern has much the same mentality I have. So we both end up sitting around for long periods of time waiting for each other to call each other, and that doesn't happen that often because we're both bottoms. That's right. What it is. Jimmy's a top.
Yeah.
And we're bottoms. And I just sit there leaning against the glory hole reading Parade magazine and waiting for something to happen, and oftentimes it never does.
Well, maybe to promote your movie.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a good point. I don't even know if I should bring this up on the air, but you guys tell me. All right?
All right.
Hey, high pitch?
Yeah.
I'm going to get hold of Howard. I need to call him. As a matter of fact, last night I wrote down, well, I didn't write Howard Stern. I just wrote Stern, and I knew I'd remember which one that was. But I need to call him.
That took 12 minutes.
So hang on there, high pitch. You guys tell me this, because I want to know, I'm not calibrated correctly. Mm. My brain doesn't work right. In my mind, it's just fine, but not in the eyes, ears, and souls, and sensibilities of society.
That's working.
Which is, there's tons of stuff with me. You don't really have to ask me stuff like, hey, do you think we could borrow Adam's this? Or do you think we could get a quote from Adam? Or people say to me, like, I get a lot of this stuff. I did Spike Ferrester's TV show, Spike's on Fox on Saturday nights. Mm. He's a guy I've met a couple of times. We're friendly. I got a call from his executive producer. No, I got worse. I got an email from his executive producer. And the first five... The first line said, would you mind being a guest on Spike Ferrester's show coming up this weekend? And the last four lines were profusely apologizing for contacting me in person. Mm. I know I should be going through your publicist. I know I should be going through. Please accept my apology for reaching out to you personally. This is a guy I've met a few times. His name is Gibby. I worked with him when I was going to do the Kilborn job over at CBS. Perfectly nice guy. Knew him, you know, fairly well. The idea that he apologized like six times in his email for personally emailing me, knowing that it went around certain, you know, that there's a protocol and that he went around it. I felt horrible reading the email that he was apologizing for sending an email directly to me, inviting me onto his program. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I'm not just trying to sound holier than thou. I just come from a place where that doesn't exist, you know? I mean, I was yelled. I had guys who were strung out on pain meds handing me a shovel going, get under the house, Nimrod, and start digging. So the idea that this guy would be, I'm very sorry for contacting you in person, as if my eyeballs would be offended, or as if I would get on the phone like I knew the number of my publicist and be like, hey, I don't have an ounce of that. And on the other hand, I do things on occasion that are that way that I don't know that I'm doing. You know, people say, oh, you shouldn't have contacted him or you shouldn't have this. And I'm like, I don't understand why. We're friendly. I'm just a guy. I'm just talking to him. So here's what I'll get to. Howard Stern went and saw The Hammer. He saw the movie.
Right, at Tribeca.
At Tribeca. And he really, really liked it. Everyone, again, I'm not offended yet, but I'm getting there when everyone says how surprised they were they liked it. Very surprised. Shockingly
everyone
surprised.
Everyone thinks you're a doofus.
That means I have a track record of not being funny or likable or charismatic or being able to act. But anyway, very surprised. And he said the movie was hilarious. And I think he said it on his radio program. One of the folks involved with, you know, the publicity and putting together took the quote and put it on the poster. You know, Howard Stern calls it hilarious and the Village Voice says it's comic gold and blah, blah, blah. Then somebody said to me recently, you should call Howard and make sure it's okay. And I thought, oh, why wouldn't it be? He said it on a show. And then I would love it if somebody did a movie poster and said, Adam Carolla says it's hilarious. If in fact I saw the movie and said it was hilarious, as long as they didn't make the quote up, I would be very flattered by that. But then I thought, oh, wait a minute, Carolla, you're not calibrated. I mean, there's a real chance that you could call Howard Stern or anybody in any kinds of these situations and they could go, Whoa. That's the kind of thing you discuss with somebody before you blah, 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 blah. And I have no idea, because for me, if you asked me for my permission, my answer would be, did I say it on the radio? And if they said, oh, yeah, I heard you say it, I'd go, why even asking me? This is embarrassing. So do you think that's offensive? Do they need to be asked? And are you guys as confused with protocol as I am these days? And has it always been this way? I felt like there was a time Like, we're now living in a time when Steve-O can urinate on your leg, and it's cool.
Yeah.
But then you could misquote one of the Olsen twins and be sued out of business
right.
or something. I don't know what to do anymore.
Confusing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would have done what you did with Howard's quote. I may have, just to be safe, because you don't know what's going to piss somebody off, just run it by and say, I hope this is okay with you. This is what's going on the poster.
I have had, and probably 80% of this has been with Kimmel, where I've said, here's what's going on, or here's what's happened, and had them pull me aside and go, are you kidding? Are you high? No way. You cannot even bring that up to that. And I'm always the guy going, I don't understand. I thought, no. So I'm a retarded babe in the woods. I was raised as a feral child in North Hollywood. I don't know what fork the salad fork is. And for me, it's all intentions.
Right.
I don't mean any, you know, I love Howard Stern. I think of him, you know, he's a friend. He said something nice about our movie. This is awesome.
Right.
And if I were him, I'd be flattered that we're using his quote, but who the hell knows?
And from what I know about Stern, were sort of hardened by life by the time you sort of achieved fame. You'd been molded, and the mold had set. Whereas
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, the vast majority of stars, that at least as far as I know, were told from a very young age or from an impressionable age, you're special, you're talented, do this, you're going to, yeah, and probably were put into the machine at a sort of a younger age. So would be therefore be a little more.
Yeah, I have no machine. As we've said many times, I was Steve O attempted to choke me out, and I took no offense to it, none at all. As a matter of fact, Ray would do much worse to me on almost a daily basis.
Right.
It was, people are like, weren't you freaked out that this drunk guy was coming at you trying to strangle you? And I'm like, no, that was every weekend. For
right.
me,
he was just happy. He didn't,
a throwback.
He didn't poop in your beanie.
I know. All I was thinking while he was trying to strangle me was, wow, Ray's got 50 pounds on him.
this is nothing.
This is horrible choking technique.
Now, if I had, this is not the same as Howard Stern, but if I walked by a movie poster and saw a quote and I didn't know it was on there, I'd be like, did I say that? Can they use that? I don't. Even if I meant it, I'd be like, oh, I didn't know they could just do that, and I wouldn't be offended. But perhaps I'd just be like, hey, by the way, I appreciate you saying these nice things.
All right,
planning on using it.
I will. I'm going to call him later on. We need to take ourselves a break. Someone wants to hear about my fight with Michael Irvin. Also, it's a long story, but I'll tell you about it. Teresa's brother. Oh, update on Teresa's brother. Oh. He had a horrible cancer and, you know, 2 months in the hospital.
Yeah.
Is he out now?
He's out.
We'll check up on him. Is he, did they move him down to the basement, or did they actually put him out?
He's actually home.
He's mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing story. I'll give you the update.
When I'm in charge, we're going to replace the toe tag with the penis tag. I just find it more relevant.
You need whimsy at a sad moment.
Yes, and somebody who can't stand Ty Pennington. 866-901-ADAM. How say you next?
It's the Adam Carolla Show, now with a look at this morning's show. The dude in charge of something. Program director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. I'm paid the cost to be the boss, peeps. Today, from 30 Rock and Best Week Ever, Judah Friedlander. The Ace Man disagrees with himself in a round of Evil Adam. A new edition of our TiVo trivia game. A recap of last night's American Idol. And, in studio, 2008 Penthouse Pet of the Year, Erica Ellison. Oh, thank Christ! After the Ace Man's Dancing with the Stars announcement, we were just days away from flipping formats and becoming KK! The good news is, I already got a guy in the afternoons! He comes with his own bedazzled chaps!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, somebody wants to hear about my fight with Michael Irvin, I guess he's a Hall of Fame wideout from the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, Jeff?
Oh, sorry, Seth. Ace Man, how are you?
Ah, Seth. Good.
Honored to speak with you. First, I want to say that I've been listening for a long time. Excuse me, all the way back to Love Line when Dag was singing about fruit in the middle and yogurt.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
I forgot fruit in the middle.
Jesus, I got to write stuff down. T tea. You've never. No one's ever heard the fruit in the middle jag on this one.
No, that's, I've not heard it.
It's been floating around my head for 10 years
and
now.
And Dag wrote a song to my fruit in the middle jag. All right, well, I'll do my fruit in the middle jag in a second, but you keep going.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I just want to say I look forward to when you're in charge because I've never agreed with anyone as much as I do with you. T, you are fantastic. And Brian, I hope that Mel Gibson clip wasn't lost about him being in control on the rope.
Like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
That's the one.
I love that one too, and it's weird because it's one of Brian's most reluctant drops. I feel like I have to pry that out of him.
Oh wait, let that thing fly whenever you feel like it.
I got hammered.
All right. So what else?
A while back, I thought you said something about Michael Irving threatening to knock you out, or
yes,
something there.
Yes.
And I'll hear the story.
Well, okay. What ended up happening, I did Jimmy Kimmel's show on I've done that show 40 times, but one of people's favorite appearances is when I went on with Michael Irvin and Method Man. And I don't know if it was Mother's Day or around Mother's Day, but I was basically explaining to the brothers who were talking up their mothers that Whitey, not huge fans of their mothers. As a matter of fact, after about the age of 15, we don't need them. You guys go on to NFL greatness, NBA greatness, whatever greatness you go on to. And then when you accept your speech or when you get your trophies or you do whatever, you always thank mama. You always talk about how she had 3 or 4 jobs. You always talk about how even though she was poor, she was proud. She always made sure everyone got dressed and off to school. And then she went off and scrubbed the floors kind of thing. I says, our moms, as white guys, like I said, once we get to about the 10th grade, not much need, not much use for them. They didn't work that much. They didn't work that hard. Half of them had, as a matter of fact, maybe my mom, whipped up a couple Hot Pockets, 1978, but that was about the extent of her work. And she wasn't working 3 jobs and she wasn't looking after 6 kids and she wasn't a single mother making ends meet and all that kind of stuff. And then I was explaining, that as a white guy, and this is true for most white guys I know, as soon as they get out of high school, they like to see their mom once every 8 years.
Right,
essentially.
You call on her birthday, but it's very reluctantly.
Yeah, it's how you doing, mom? Oh, great, phone machine. Oh, Christ. I mean, that's how white guys are. Their moms, here's the deal. They didn't do that much for us. Thus, we don't have a big debt to repay them. And most white guys, once they become adults and the phone rings and it's like, the kids, you know what? They look the same as they did last. All right. I guess you can come by. I'll tell you what. I'll shove the kids out of the mail slot. I'll keep the door deadbolted. Take a quick look at them and then just set them down on the porch.
Ask her to keep the car running.
Keep the car running. I'll hold the kids up in front of the windshield. You speed off. That's what white guys do with their moms. And so these guys are laughing it up. You know, Michael Irvin and Method Man are laughing it up. And they said, why don't you like your mama more or something like that? And I said, look, you should love your mom was over at my mom's house cleaning while my mom was eating bonbons and watching TV. That's why you love your mom. And then when she was done with my mom's house, she went over to Kimmel's house and she made him, dinner and cleaned that floor while his mom sat around and watched soap operas. And they were laughing as only black athletes can laugh. Just a wham, hands flying up in the air and slapping the knees. It's only super religious. Like, here's the biggest laugh. There's no bigger laugher than this. Athlete, black athlete, found Jesus Christ.
Oh.
You get those guys going, and I have gotten Michael Irvin.
I've gotten
Deion Sanders going. And, I mean, Deion, his canary yellow suit almost exploded. He'd be laughing, his hands flailing in the air. So Michael Irvin is laughing, and I'm not saying anything too disrespectful, although to athletes, anything about their mama is a little disrespectful.
Sure.
But I'm basically explaining that you have all the reason in the world to love your mama. Your mama just came over to my mama's house and cleaned the house. So what the hell am I loving my mama for? And blah, blah, blah. They're laughing their ass off. Well, somewhere, somehow, sometimes time is not good for these things. And it's about 6 or 8 months later, I was doing my own show, and somebody said, hey, how about we book Michael Irvin? I said, awesome. last time I saw the guy, he was laughing his ass off. And then the booker came back, and I said, how'd it go? Did we get Irvin? He said, no, not really. I said, why not? He said, because he said the next time he sees you, he's going to punch you in the face for talking about his mama.
Ooh.
So, you know, if you go back and review the tape, not so much bad stuff about his mama, more stuff about my mama. But
fortunately, she doesn't catch many of your programs.
Either. Well, she is a Kimmel fan, so she may have caught that.
She said the same thing, so punch in the face next time.
Yeah, so we'll see what becomes of that. But last I heard, not a fan of
Mama.
You
should try again to book Michael Irvin.
The fruit in the middle.
I just looked for that clip. I can't find it.
I forgot about one of my, the Irving one.
No, the dad, the dag clip.
Oh, yeah.
Are you pro or con fruit in the middle?
There's no such thing as fruit in the middle.
It's on the bottom.
Right. And I have said for years, it's one of my earliest notions, and I forgot about it. I haven't talked about it in years, which is I normally get the pre-mixed yogurt. And now most of them are pre-mixed. But there was a time, and you can still get fruit on the bottom.
Right.
And I always, it's one of my greatest Kimmel arguments, which is, I decided, much like my heated sofa or my recycle-rolla or whatever, I said what they ought to do is have yogurt that's not fruit at the bottom, but fruit in the middle. Mm. They put in, you know, put in an inch and a half of yogurt, then put in 3/4 of an inch of fruit, and then another inch and a half of yogurt, and there's your stuff. Because fruit on the bottom, here's what happens with fruit on the bottom. You take your entire spoon and you submerge it into the 4-inch deep yogurt container and you start attempting to stir the container up. I mean, look, if you're at home, maybe you dump it in a bowl, but if you're out at work or whatever, you start stirring it.
Now you, overboard.
Now A, you have stuff, yogurt spilling over the brim, but worse, you have yogurt going all the way up the spoon. Mm. You ever do that move where the spoon falls into the cereal bowl and then you have to use the spoon and it's got the milk on the handle? Should make no cereal bowl bigger than a spoon, by the way. They should do a spoon test where a spoon cannot slide. Remember when you were a kid, you had that one bowl that it wouldn't hold the spoon, and when you set it down, it would slide in and get submerged. Then you had to use your fingers and daintily pick it out of there. But fruit in the bottom is bad for three reasons. A, yogurt spills over the top. B, you've submerged what is almost your entire spoon into the stuff and gotten it all the way up the handle. And then C, there's that weird, like, two-stage rim, that trough that runs along the outside that you can never quite get the thing into. Fruit in the middle. Now, that's a yogurt I would buy. Kimmel, by the way, heard this idea and said it, immediately announced it wouldn't work. Immediately announced. A little insight to Jimmy Kimmel, everyone. He heard this idea. He's like, well, that'll never work. I said, why not? He said the fruit would all settle at the bottom. I said, no, it wouldn't.
Maybe the yogurt?
You put the yogurt, you put like, you know, put an inch of yogurt at the bottom, then you put an inch of fruit, then you put an inch of yogurt. He said, it all goes to the bottom. I said, no, the fruit... The yogurt is more viscous than the fruit is. The fruit would sit on top of the yogurt. And then he said this one, and this is when I got a little window into Jimmy's soul. He goes, the fruit on the bottom? I said, yeah. It all starts at the top. It just settles that way.
Oh, no.
I said, well, first off, are you from the Yogurt Bureau?
Wrong!
Did you grow up in Wisconsin? You really? He said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, oh, are you high? No, it doesn't, because you would see all kind of bits of pulp and seeds. Like when you got strawberry yogurt, you would see not pristine white yogurt. Yeah. You would see bits of seeds and everything. He said, oh, no, absolutely. That's the way it works. And I realized, obviously, he and no other person on the planet knows how this works. He was just arguing with me to argue with me. Jimmy used to love just to argue for the sake of argument. I said, Jimmy, if I took yogurt with fruit on the bottom and I turned it over and put it into the refrigerator for a week, when I then turned it back upright and popped the cap, do you think it would be all fruit there? And he said, absolutely. I said, Jimmy, I do not have enough time to really conduct this experiment away, but I think you don't even believe you at this point. And he said, oh, absolutely, that's the way it works. So that was my fruit in the middle. And I was going off on one of my many fruit in the middle jags. And I think Dag came into the studio and wrote one of his impromptu songs about fruit in the middle. I still stand by it. If I'm making yogurt and I'm somewhere in the middle of the pack and I'm looking to make a surge to the front, I come out with Dannon fruit in the middle.
Sure. Mm. I can't be the only one who did this, by the way. You don't look closely enough at the thing and you open up like, oh, plain yogurt. Start eating it, then halfway through it's like, there's fruit on the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
That has happened.
Yeah, it should be like a parfait. Yes. You know, a stripe of yogurt and a stripe
yes.
of fruit.
Mm.
By the way, Engineer Bill, pre-op, board up, Bill. I'll see you at Fruit at the Bottom for Zima about 3 o'clock this afternoon after I work out.
For smart cocktail.
For a super smart cocktail.
That's the VIP
cocktail.
Lounge in the back of Mr. Fister.
Dave?
Yes?
How say you, my brother?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Well, I'm an electrician. I work at one of the last white trades out there.
Mm-hmm.
Electrician.
That's
and,
true.
We were doing one of those home improvement jobs in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Free, of course. And we were...
Now, why was it free?
Well, because our boss volunteered us our services.
Ah, you mean for, like, the TV show?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all there on a Saturday on our day off. And doing the, you know, with 150 people on one little teeny job site. And our boss saw that they were going to start serving lunch, so he called us all off about 5 minutes early, all the electricians, to mm-hmm. get in line.
Right.
So we were all very first in line for the catering truck.
Mm-hmm.
And as they open it, they start serving, and here comes, of course, marching up to the front of the line is Ty Pennington and a couple of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why all the aces?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, excuse me, you know, we need to get up here. We have some stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, not that big a deal to me. You know, he's Hollywood. What can he do?
Right.
But my partner behind me, he doesn't really take that kind of stuff. And he
raised a little hell.
Yeah. He said to Ty, he said, hey, don't pay any attention to us. We're just the free labor.
Well, I appreciate the dig. And again, no problem with Ty Pennington as a human being, just not a carpenter. But let me say this.
I mean, what's going on, man?
It has happened, and I'm going to cut Ty some slack here because it has happened before, and I used to have to do this all the time. I worked on the man show. We had 80 guys working on the crew. We'd break for lunch, and Jimmy and I would break last sometimes, and we would get to the back of the line. I didn't want to be the guy who went to the front of the line. Oftentimes, the producer, the director, somebody else will say, do not stand in the back of this line. Go get your food, A, because you're the star, but B, we have something to talk about in the trailer. There's work to be done during the break. Get your food and get back over here because we need to pound out whatever or work on whatever. So if he just strolled to the front, maybe that makes him a prima donna. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because oftentimes you're told, go get your food,
right.
Get back in the trailer.
Sure.
We're going to have some sort of tech meeting or something like that.
You're not a jackass.
So there you go. But thank you, Dave. We need to take ourselves a break. Evil Adam, I want your phone calls. I don't know how we did it last time, but it worked out pretty nicely. Oh, what it is it was based on Knight Rider. It was based on Hasselhoff's evil twin. All the things I rail against, I will flip-flop on.
Right.
Pie versus cake, left turn arrows.
You passionately defended Don Henley's dirty laundry last time.
Evil right. Adam is the opposite of you.
That's right. So you guys call up 866-901-ADAM. You throw out one of my topics, and I will go 180 on your ass. T. Bald Brian, you have it as well. Mm-hmm. Evil Adam next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for another visit with Adam's evil twin brother. Evil Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, we got a full boat. People responding. Somebody's paying attention. I am flattered. All right, Evil Adam, you toss out the topic. Again, I will flip-flop on every one of these issues. Let's see. Should I start at the top, or do you want to talk? T, why don't you toss one out? Bald Brian, you toss one out. I don't know what the topics are. I see your topics here at 866-901-ADAM. We'll get to yours in 1 second. T, let's start with you. Ladies first.
Okay. Evil Adam, how do you feel about libraries and reading?
Oh, love it. I mean, as a youth,
yeah,
as a lad, that's all I did. You know, I grew up in North Hollywood. It was snowing most of the year. I just sat back and I opened myself a little Emily Dickinson, and I read myself whatever book that she may have written.
Or maybe some poems.
Or some poems. That's right.
Book of poems.
She did. She did that. She did those too. I read myself some. I liked it so much. I read Dickens, Dickinson, and Dick. That's right. Moby Dick.
Yeah.
By what's his nose. It's very important. It's very important, especially for men, young men. You guys shouldn't be out wrestling. You shouldn't be out playing football. You shouldn't learn how to turn a wrench. You shouldn't learn how. Here's my point. If you're driving along as a male and you get a flat, don't change to flat tire. Read a book about it. When, by the way, as I've always said, why live it when you can stay in and read about it?
You are nothing like your brother, right, Brian?
So, like, why,
really scary.
Why climb Mount Everest when you can read a book about a guy who climbed Mount Everest?
Hours spent in the library with Dick, Dickens, and Dickinson.
The old man and the sea, the little girls, sisters.
Little Women.
Little Women. That one, too. I read them all.
Louisa May Alcott, one of your favorites?
That's all I did. That's all I did was read books. I even read a book about books once.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you read that in the library?
Mm-hmm.
Where you'd stay for hours?
Oh, I used to go there and immerse myself in books. It was like, you know, it was like, remember that episode of The Twilight Zone where that guy, all he wanted to do was lock himself in the bank vault and read?
That
was me. That was my childhood. Pasty white, sunshine, never saw my skin. And I just read. And God willing, one day, my children will not go out and experience life. And by the way, here's the problem with not reading. You start creating your own thoughts, and the next thing you know, you have an imagination. Oh. Better to see other people who have an imagination and read what they wrote down so you don't have to think. Paul Bryan?
Well done. Well, you and I talk during the breaks a lot, and you kept bringing up a surprise how much you liked Ty Pennington and his carpentry skills and how hilarious he was and the unique combination.
I've said it many times. No better looking, finer carpenter, nay, individual than Ty Pennington. Nobody knows the codes better than Ty Pennington. I remember sitting down. Well, actually, I call myself a journeyman carpenter, but Ty is really the journeyman. I just sat at his hem and learned. Mm-hmm. And I remember him explaining what the nailing schedule was on Shearwall. And I remember once I said, Ty? And he said, not now. I'm busy transforming lives. And I said, but Ty, 1 second. What's the difference between a live load and a static load? And he went and explained that to me. And then I said, what is a moment? He explained the structural dynamics of a moment. And I asked him, now, Ty, I said, Ty, is it a joist? Is it a ceiling joist? If you live in a two-story building, I said, Ty, if you live in a two-story building, the ceiling above that, is that the ceiling joist or is that the floor joist of the floor above it? Ceiling or floor? And he stuck his hands out and he said, snatch the number 8 penny nails from my hand, weed hopper. And that's when I realized he was the master. You know
weird,
what?
Is there?
I'm not even worthy to talk about the guy.
It's a combination of, I was like, is that intimidation or is that admiration? You said, well, both.
Admitimidation. It is both. Will?
Yeah.
You want to toss somebody out?
Oh, yeah. I want you to talk about the great mayor of L.A., Mr. Villaraigosa.
Oh, wow. Mr. Villaraigosa.
Great man.
What an awesome job. First off, I've heard the... Well, let me explain something about Villaraigosa, a few things. I went to a function where he came out on stage. I was presiding over the function. I was supposed to bring Villaraigosa up on stage, but you want to know what? I'm not a big enough star for that. I don't know all Villaraigosa's I don't know his qualities. So he had a guy come out, and that guy waxed on for about 40 minutes on what a great man Villaraigosa is. And I almost threw my neck out nodding the entire time the man was heaping praise on the great Villaraigosa. And people think he's diminutive. He's not. He's all of 5'7 and a quarter. He is a large, imposing Clint. Think Clint Eastwood, John Wayne-esque. And if anybody has ever come to this great city of Los Angeles, the city that he presides over, first off, crime, what? Doesn't exist, number one. Number two, I defy someone to find some graffiti, a traffic zooming along at a breakneck speed. The problem with Villaraigosa, quite honestly, he's moved the city along too fast. It's moving along at too fast a clip. Here you are barreling down the 101 right in the middle of rush hour going 70 miles an hour and boom, the monorail just goes zipping right past you. He's a man of honor. He's a family man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a man of integrity. He's a great, great, great leader. And again, if you come to Los Angeles, and I will say this and I've said it many times, as a Los Angelino, I don't feel like I pay enough in taxes for what I'm receiving. You want to talk education, you talk Villaraigosa. You want to talk transportation, you talk Villaraigosa. You want to talk illegal immigration, Villaraigosa. You want to talk crime, Villaraigosa. I mean, what am I paying? 42%, 43%? Hell, that's not even half of what I earn. And look what I get. Not a pothole in the street. A pristine. You could eat. You could literally eat off the sidewalk here in Los Angeles. It's a pristine, beautiful, crimeless. I mean, it's really, it's like driving through the old Busch Gardens as I head home up the 101 freeway. Nary a weed or a hobo anywhere. He in an education. Huh. You know, my wife says, what school are we sending our kids to? I say, any school. We're in Los Angeles. Villaraigosa's at the helm. You want to talk about education. You want to talk about standardized testing. It's all through the roof. We're the envy of the rest of the nation. Sure, we're somewhere in the lower 40s when it comes to standardized testing. But here's what I would argue. I don't look at it as, all right, so we're number 47 out of 50 states in education and we pay the most taxes. You know the way I look at it?
How?
Take that, Mississippi. You're 48.
How? Is Evil Adam going to cut Villaraigosa an extra check?
I got to tell you, like I said, the 40-whatever percent I'm paying in taxes is not enough. And to me, and by the way, all right, so you bang one Telemundo reporter. That's not two. That's not a baker's dozen. And by the way, that just suggests to me that this is a virile, virile, heterosexual man who I am convinced. And I know I have no way of verifying this. But while he was on top of that Telemundo reporter banging the bejesus out of her, I think he was thinking about what he could do for public transportation.
That's how he clears his mind.
That's what Villaraigosa does. He's like, when I'm on top of a woman that's not my wife, I'm focused on the troubles of this city. He's a great, great man. We'll never do better. As a matter of fact, when he goes, I say we just flash freeze him and prop him up. He'll do a better job than anyone who comes after him.
Evil Adam, how do you feel about Villaraigosa's last name? I understand it's a combination of his wife and his name.
He is paying homage to his great Latin roots, and I appreciate that. Sure, his last name isn't really Villaraigosa, and a lot of people say he's doing that just to ingratiate himself to our Mexican brethren. I don't look at it that way at all. I mean, my last name is Corolla, and I wish it was Villa Corolla Ragosa. We all change our last names. I mean, Teresa, your last... Okay, that's a bad example.
No,
your last name is Strasser, and Brian, your last name is...
Brian, first name Bald.
Bald. Yeah. You didn't change your last name. All right, Mike Lynch, you didn't... All right, so no one in this room has actually changed their last name, and no male with any dignity we're aware of has ever changed their last name. But that doesn't mean it's not a great plan for a great leader. Of course, he's a great, great man. May he reign over this city for another million years. Oh, Jesus, we have more. We need to take a break. Well,
the one thing that Evil Adam and Good Adam have in common is they don't get to that many phone calls.
This is the one thing.
People out here love speeding through the phones.
All right, you guys were all awesome, but I couldn't help it. I wanted to heap so much praise on Villaraigosa that I couldn't stop myself. I will do this again. Yeah. You guys were great. You had some great ones
on
there.
So many good ones.
Tease the news.
Well, McCain facing some very serious allegations this morning. Breaking news, New York Times is saying some nasty things.
We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
Good morning. Who is in the studio today?
Coming up this morning, we'll sit down with Penthouse Pet of the Year, Erica Ellison.
Boobs.
Have a chat with 30 Rock's Judah Friedlander.
There's a insane asylum here, and I don't have insurance. I was high risk.
We're going to recap last night's American Idol.
You got to be in it to win it all.
Adam and T will dish out some relationship advice. Teresa will dish out the news.
I heard you call me fat.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com.
So shut up!
And now, Adam Carolla.
T-Bone!
Yes.
The news, sweetie Petey.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Arizona Senator John McCain says a New York Times report suggesting he had an inappropriate relationship with a female lobbyist 8 years ago is part of a smear campaign by the newspaper, which, by the way, endorses John McCain. A statement released by McCain's presidential campaign says, "It is a shame that the New York Times has lowered its standards," adding that McCain, quote, "has never violated the public trust, never done favors for special interests and lobbyists, and will not allow this to distract from his bid for the GOP White House nomination." This morning, McCain, with his wife Cindy by his side, gave a press conference from Ohio. Here is some of that.
Describe your relationship with Vicki Eisen.
By friends, seen her on occasions, particularly at receptions and fundraisers and appearances before the committee. I have many friends in Washington who represent various interests and those who don't, and I consider her a friend.
Mm-hmm. Problem is, she's hot.
She's hot, yeah.
Yeah.
She's an attractive,
I base
thin,
everything
blonde.
In life on that. Like, I always go, give me, ooh, what do we have here?
Right.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Well, that's why Lewinsky really confused everyone, because they weren't sure if she was hot.
Well, that's how you knew Clinton was a sex addict. That's when I knew
Any
he had
Any port in a storm?
Yes. Yes, he slipped something into that slip. And, yeah, that's how I knew it. Because Clinton would go after ugly chicks.
She wasn't the hottest chick in the world.
Mm.
No, she was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been a little chubby.
First black president. Okay. Okay.
Right? Right? Starting to look better and better for Obama and maybe even for Huckabee.
She got a great ass!
Mm-hmm.
McCain continued to defend.
All I'm saying is Clinton-wise.
Yeah.
If you are going to risk that much, and that's a lot of risk.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you go for, what was Ollie North's secretary, Rice? No, Faith? Not Donna Rae. Fawn Hall.
Right.
Fawn Hall. Now, remember when Ollie North was on the stand and they had Fawn Hall would get up there and he'd go, "Holy Christ, what a piece of ass. Wow, is she..." All I'm saying is, if you're the president of the United States, and
I
this
was
is...
seven. I thought the same
you were
thing.
Seven.
I thought the same thing.
If you are going to risk it all, you go with the Fawn Hall angle. Or the Donna Rice or whoever else these guys get caught screwing around with. You don't risk it on the Lewinsky.
Not to mention Jennifer Flowers wasn't that hot.
Mm, that's what I'm saying. And that's how I know that Clinton has a personality disorder.
He's compelled.
It's an addiction. I mean, that's the very definition of addiction is doing it in the face of adverse consequences.
Sure.
You are the effing president of the effing United States. You essentially have to keep it together for 4 to 8 years, and history will then judge you for the next 2,000 years. You can't go into the Oval bathroom and rub one out just to take the edge off. Nope, I'm going to do this. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, everyone talks about Clinton, what a great president he was, what a great mind he is, so on and so forth. When I see him, I see a guy with a huge personality disorder. I mean, or just addiction, sexually addicted. Because you would not, there's no sane human being that would make that call, who would essentially say, I will risk everything, including the integrity of this country, so I can get a Hummer from a 5.5 on the premises.
Right.
Better for comedy purposes, Bill Clinton or George W. Bush? I mean, now that we have sort of 8 years under the belt, you know what I'm saying? Who's better sort of
for the
late night people?
The old Clinton was great because, you know, he'd go jogging and he'd stop at the McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like
Chubby Clinton, Bubba.
Chubby the Bubba. Yeah, that Clinton, Arkansas Clinton, not new Clinton, right. Not, you know, with the gray hair and he's lost 30 pounds. That Clinton's no good for comedy purposes. I would say old. And Bush... The problem with the Bush comedy is it's very one dimensional. It's like someone going, I need you to make fun of a cow for 8 years. It's kind of like you make a lot of stupid cow jokes, but they're all just stupid jokes.
I
feel like Clinton had a few different angles we could work.
He was dynamic. Work
the fast food angle.
There was that.
We could work the womanizing angle. There were more dimensions to screw with him. So I overall would say Clinton. And just in general, I find Bush sort of, even the guys that are making fun of Bush is sort of boring.
I was reading an article yesterday about Lorne Michaels and Saturday Night Live coming back. They have no one who plays Barack Obama, so they've narrowed it down to two or three people. They're trying to audition someone, and he was saying it's really difficult to make fun of this guy right now because everyone is sort of on board with his message, and there aren't really any cracks yet. Right. So it's hard to find out how somebody who's doing an impression really makes fun of Barack, but when they come back with Tina Fey hosting, they will have somebody to play Obama.
They'll come back for the new season with Tina Fey as the host.
Yeah, and followed by Ellen Juno. Ellen Page from Juno.
All right.
It's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to this press conference. Now, this just came out yesterday on the New York Times website, and already this morning, McCain wasted no time in addressing it. This is not his first so-called smear campaign. You may remember that voters in South Carolina were reportedly asked, would you be more likely or less likely to vote for John McCain if you knew that he fathered an illegitimate black child?
Mm-hmm.
They were asked this, and this was considered a so-called whisper campaign by Karl Rove when he was running.
Did he do that?
No. But when you put it into someone's brain,
you get the response just like that.
You get that.
Uh-huh.
So that was the
brilliant
whisper campaign.
That's really smart.
Yeah. So I believe he may have some adopted children.
So it's one of those, if you found out McCain was the only gay man in his family, would you tend not
exactly
to vote for
right.
him?
Exactly right. Now I got to wonder, I didn't know. Was he gay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was, so he's been through it before, and here he is again answering questions from reporters in Ohio with his wife, Cindy.
Did you speak to the New York Times? And if so, what did you tell them? Did they ever say that the story was not going to run?
We never tried to have any a dialogue in that fashion for months. The New York Times has submitted questions, and we have answered them fully and exhaustively. And unfortunately, many of those answers were not included in the rather long piece in the New York Times. But we fully cooperated with them in answering any questions that they might have.
All right. Who cares? Let's just move forward. We're really taking a huge step backward as a nation. We're just in everyone's garbage. We're following everyone around. Celebrities can't leave their house. Politicians can't run a campaign. I mean, look, maybe the other way wasn't the great way to do it, sneaking women in and everyone being hush-hush, but we have to strike some sort of balance, don't we? Haven't we crossed the line in like the last 18 months? Maybe it's Britney Spears. I know it's always been bad. Has it gotten more noticeably bad in like the last 6 months?
It would seem that way. It would seem that way.
I blame your former employer.
I think, you know, the other tabloid shows and the mainstream news have had to compete with my former employer, and thus they've all had to be a little bit tabloidized.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm talking about the Red Robin in Sacramento.
I thought you meant the Houlihans.
Oh, yeah.
But politics sort of becomes more like entertainment as we go on. People announcing candidacies on Jay Leno and Jon Stewart and such and such. It's almost like they want to have their cake and eat it too. That's the way of phrasing it. But they don't want the other thing that goes with it, which is, all right, well, if you want to act like the celebrities and get that sort of notoriety, you're going to get the same kind of treatment on the other end.
Well, a good point. And I would now also argue that
not that it's right, but that's what's going to
happen. Yeah, but maybe you're right, and you're right on both accounts. The other thing I'd like to say is sports has gone this way, too. The sports now, these sports is turning, if you watch a Super Bowl, it's not a football game anymore. It's an entertainment event.
Spectacle.
So everything is now just sort of turning into entertainment. And maybe, just maybe, it's these reality shows that have spearheaded the whole thing. Because it used to be a time where there was news, there was sports, and then there was entertainment. There was the Super Bowl, that was a football game, and then you'd watch All in the Family, or then Roots, or whatever, the mini, or the movie. Now, guys that are doing movies are doing TV shows. TV shows are documentaries now, essentially.
Right.
They're Survivor, The Bachelor, and things like that. Maybe it's all just getting tossed into one big pot and cooked together. Entertainment is politics. I mean, this year, more so than ever, there's more people watching CNN and Fox and all this stuff. Entertainment now basically could be defined as anything that draws your attention for a period of time. Whether it's something horrible on YouTube, whether it's sports, whether it's movies, whether it's sitcoms. And now there's no real division between, you know, I mean, obviously we're living in a time where Dancing with the Stars and American Idol is drawing better numbers than sitcoms are. Right. So there's this blurred line now, and it's just game on. Everything's on. Anyone is interested in is entertainment.
Two things. One, you remember what a novelty it was for Bill Clinton to go on MTV News. They did a town hall on MTV back in 1992. It was a
Boxers or Briefs.
Thing. And now it's expected that people are going to go on Comedy Central. They're going to go on Jon Stewart. YouTube debates. The debates are on YouTube.
It was bizarre to see somebody even on Leno 8 or 12 years ago.
I think that we're more and more fascinated with people's private lives. That means politicians and athletes and entertainers. And this is not my theory. I just read this book called Fame Junkies. Give it a chance.
All right.
And he talks about some evolutionary theories.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that, I may have mentioned this before, but we're meant to live in packs, in groups. And it used to be that we lived on average 7 to a household. Mm-hmm. Now a lot of people live 1 to a household. We're very lonely. We don't have a community. We don't have a pack. So Britney Spears is part of my world. And Tom Brady is part of my world. And I want to know what moisturizer he uses. And I want to know about his vacation with Jessica Simpson, because these are now my community.
You used to live with Tom Brady and Jessica Simpson, and now you live alone.
I told you it wasn't going to be boring.
I mean,
Brian was friends with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's right.
Best friends.
I dig what you're saying. So there was a time, and now if you think about this, interesting, because if you think about the communities, let's say out here in Southern California, large Latin populace.
Right.
Those folks seem to be more into their family, into their work, and into the day-to-day part of living than they are into Tom Brady. Now,
absolutely.
I know there's a cultural divide, but I'm sure there's an equivalent to Tom Brady in the Latin world, Señor Bredado. And he
Tomas
does not seem to be as popular as ours. Yes, and now I also blame the gays for this. Because you take a single dude and you put him in a one-bedroom apartment with a cat, and he's going to need to gossip.
Oh, I know.
He's going to need himself some gossip.
Now, I hear you.
People would formally, in the past, gossip about their own family. It'd be like, I can't believe my Aunt Connie.
That's your
she
community.
Says she's going to quit smoking. She never does. And she shows up at Thanksgiving and she gets drunk and blah, blah, blah. Yes, the people I know, and again, nothing scientific. I'm just giving you a view from the cheap seats here, peeps. But when I see the people that have families, and it will be this way. You'll find that guy who has four kids. He has four daughters, ages 6 through 13, and he's working his ass off and so on and so forth. And you ask him who the latest cast of American Idol is or Dancing with the Star, he's barely heard of the show. He doesn't know why. His family is his own tabloid news show. He goes home, people are bickering, there's homework to take care of, there's a house to clean and a mortgage to pay. Yes, you go off alone, the TV becomes your friend.
Yeah,
and
Us
all of
Weekly
a sudden,
is your friend.
Paula Abdul is one of your buddies.
And you feel like you know her, and there's an evolutionary reason for this. If you are in a pack, right, if you were hunting, gathering, you are much safer. And other people would help you watch your kids. Other people would help you capture prey. Other people would make, there would be, you know, a mate for you in that pack. It was a good idea. It was safe to be in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're all alone.
All right. Well, make with the morning zoo crap. What's your pack later?
Get in the cooch.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I know we're back in the cooch business today. I'm back in the Oprah business.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah cooch. Winfrey. I know. Well, saying Oprah. Had a conversation with Donny Osmond about Dancing with the Stars.
Shorter than you would think, Donny Osmond.
Yeah, he's such a sweet man.
Nice
like
guy.
Him. Yeah.
No, you know how they say never say never?
Yeah.
Oh, yes you can.
Yes you can.
I wanted her to do Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
I'm standing directly behind both of them.
Well, then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Could have taken them both out with one grenade.
That's not going to happen.
No.
The courage that it takes to do that and to put yourself through that kind of rigor, I know. No. I'm happy watching them, and I'm doing
other things. Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Courage. Yeah, look, she has billions of dollars. I was literally standing directly behind both of them while I had their fake conversation. It was 2 days ago in Chicago. Here's another thing. I have a clip from Oprah.
Yeah.
So I was, as you'll see, if you care to watch, you don't need to watch Oprah today.
I do.
Okay, you
I
do.
Am counting down. Right now, this is just time a waste until I see you on Oprah.
Here's what happened with Oprah. They said, you guys are going to go out on stage. They're going to introduce all of you. And then Oprah will ask each one of you a question. Well, they introduced all of us, but she only asked seven or eight of the 12 people a question.
Yeah, couldn't get to everyone.
And I was not one of the people she asked a question. Now, I thought she was going to ask me a question, and my wife was disappointed and said, why didn't you talk? And I said, well, when you think someone is going to get to you, you don't want to jump in when they're talking to Monica Seles about it. You don't want to go, oh, pardon me, I have an idea, because you think, wait your turn, and then we ran out of time. So I just stood there like a stooge. But the thing that I found interesting...
You'll be back when you win.
Thank you. Is Marley Matlin travels around with an interpreter, a sign reader, interpreter. I don't know what to call the guy. He's a very diminutive man. He looks a little like Gilbert Godfrey, and he does the interpreting. She does the signing. He does the talking. And when you interview her for a television show, as you're going to hear Oprah in 1 second, she doesn't attempt to talk. She signs. And the guy stands right next to the camera, just outside of the view of the camera, with a microphone on, and he answers. It's a great gig, really, if you think about it. You don't have to worry about hair and makeup, but you get your voice on TV. So I'm standing there on stage, and Oprah is talking to Marley Matlin, and here's what it sounds like.
Oscar winner Marley Matlin says competing on the show will be like learning a new language.
Knowing what dancers do, we do the same thing. They use their hands and body. They make themselves understood that way and express themselves that way. It's like learning another language for me.
Confusing.
That's confusing because she has a dude do her voice, and she got herself a vagina, people. Now, he's not a big guy, and he doesn't sound like a pro wrestler, and it would be funny to get, like, Jesse Ventura's like, oh, listen to the Hulksters. I'm going to put a smack down on Penn Jillette, and I'm going to put a smack down on Mario, and I'm going to put a smack down on Steve Gutenberg. But, I mean... there should be some goddamn law where you pick your gender and your gender must match your own gender. Like, I wouldn't want a chick answering for me if Oprah was interviewing me. So there's Oprah. Oprah standing next to Marley Matlin. Oprah's asking her all kinds of questions, and every sound that comes from her, although it doesn't come from her, but essentially becomes her de facto voice. It is Marley's voice. is a dude.
Very strange. It took me a second to realize, oh, that's
so
Marley.
Like, so he's like, you know, when I don the pumps, the sequence gown, and the flirty handful of chiffon, you know, as a young girl growing up in the Seattle area, Tacoma, Seattle area, as a young girl, every young girl dreams. Much, you know, I was no different than any other young girl. I spent hours standing in front of the mirror, dressed as a princess. Pardon me. I gotta cut the stogies out. I'm just trying to smoke these Tipperillos. Anyway, look, I digress. Where was I? Yeah, every young girl, yes, I spent hours standing dressed as a princess, wearing a tiara and taffeta, pretending that one day a prince would come up and sweep me off my feet, and me and my candies would dance off into the sunset. Get a chick to talk for you.
In a related story on Marley Matlin, this from...
Why, am I nuts with this?
No, it makes absolute sense. This is from our content partner, MSN.com.
I'm
going to
take it a step further.
Okay.
If you're black, I want a black dude talking. Okay. If you're black and you're deaf, I want a black dude.
Did you ever see Yao Ming's translator?
No.
He's about 5'6", mm-hmm. blonde.
Mm,
nothing at all.
See, I don't go for that.
He would need an Asian translator.
I want a guy that not only translates the voice of Yao Ming or Marley Matlin or whoever. Are there any black deaf people, by the way?
Absolutely.
They have those?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta get one of those. Jay, give me one.
But
okay.
You don't want Marley Matlin to
The point is whatever you are, your translator must do the best job of sounding like what you would sound like if you had a voice.
Roger Ebert chose the British sounding voice thing when he lost his job.
Oh,
yeah. The British
don't approve. Don't approve.
Well, get to this quickly.
Not under my watch.
Marley Matlin. Mm-hmm. Again, this is from our content partner, MSN.com. She has given an interview about how she's going to dance. Obviously, she's hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to dance to music.
Oh.
And she talks about her internal metronome. A metronome is the instrument that creates a steady beat that musicians use. She says, so much will depend on me being in sync with my partner, with my eyes, with my arms, with my legs. Plus, sign language has given me an internal metronome.
Yeah. And look, you know what vote she gets? She ain't going in the first round. She gets the first pass.
Interesting.
Just like the black chick does in The Bachelor.
Right.
They always they make it past the first round.
Right.
Because they always do that thing. They get the 28 white chicks, and then they get the one black chick, and they can't vote the black chick off the first round because even though the guy's, you know, the Prince of Monaco, and he's not going to marry a black chick, he ain't going to vote her off the first round because she doesn't want people thinking he's racist.
Right.
She's not going to get the... There's no way they're going to cut the deaf chick in the first round. She might make it few... Even if she's bad at dancing, she's going to get a couple of passes, right?
Well, I think you have to factor in that she's working at a great disadvantage. She just has an internal metronome, but she can't really hear the music.
Yeah, no, I think the factoring in the great disadvantage will...
That's going to keep her on. And by the way, her partner, Fabian Sanchez, was the 06 World Mambo Champion. He's making his debut on Dancing this season.
She's probably lucky she's deaf. She's got to hear this guy in his thick accent tell all his mambo stories.
Well, it's going to be hard. I mean, he's going to have to teach her how to dance through the male interpreter.
I still feel like, in general, I wish I was deaf about 80% of the time. 80, 90% of the time.
Marley Matlin says that Latins speak with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
She says they speak with their hands, their bodies. And she says, quote, he's great. We use a combination of lip reading. He's easy to follow, even if he has a slight accent.
Wait a minute. I have not even had one rehearsal
this
yet.
Concerns
how long these two
I
been
know.
Dating?
I don't know, but they're
Jesus
already at it.
Jesus Christ.
When are you having your first rehearsal?
Today.
Oh, with Julianne?
Mm-hmm.
Better late than never.
Is this taking place at an undisclosed location?
Yes, in my pants.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Good news, peeps. We're back in the cooch business.
Yes.
Erica Ellison. I hope I said that, or Ellison.
I'm guessing it's Ellison, but we'll ask her.
We'll ask her. It's probably Ellison. I do feel like there should be an I in there somewhere. Either way, she's hot. She's Penthouse Pet of the Year. She's coming in, and you want to talk about serendipity. It's on newsstands, I believe,
yes,
as we speak.
On newsstands.
There's a nice big fat article on me and my movie, and I think there's an article on Bonaducci in the same magazine. So not only can you pick it up and read my article, you can then masturbate to Bonaducci. Who are you sitting down, T?
Yeah.
He's shirtless in his photograph.
What? He's usually very modest about his
probably mom. Photoshopped. Either way, nice big article on me, nice big one on the Dooch Man, and the beautiful Erica in the nude. We'll talk to her next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, the 2008 Penthouse Pet of the Year, Erica Ellison on the Adam Carolla Show.
This year's girl. I love this Elvis Costello song. Erica Ellison, great to see you.
Hi.
08 Penthouse Pet of the Year. You're on the cover. Is that you in the middle?
That is me in the middle.
Let me look at you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look good, but you look different. Not bad, just different.
I think it's the curly hair.
Ah, they did you up. Yeah. Born in Biloxi, Mississippi. 34C, 23 years of age. What was the plan growing up?
The plan? Actually, my plan growing up was to become an architect. I never really thought about modeling, and one day I just submitted my photos to the house, and they called me. So.
You wanted to be an architect?
Yeah. I'm not going to school right now, obviously, because of my contract.
Too good looking, yeah. And so, girl, was your dad an architect? Why did you want to be an architect? I thought every young pretty girl wanted to do something with animals.
No,
did you want to build pet clinics?
No, it was like I wanted to be a pharmacist or an architect. It was like
really,
things,
yeah. Your English is too good to be a pharmacist around here. You cannot work in the city of Los Angeles and be understandable as a pharmacist. It's really, it is the one gig where you really have to be able to understand the person. And I'm not sure what the nationalities are out here, but if you live in Los Angeles, have you ever had a pharmacist who spoke English and you could clearly understand the pharmacist and what they were saying to you?
I called the pharmacy the other day and actually they heard my voice. I said, I need a refill. And the woman said, is this Teresa? I'm not kidding.
It's just big nose herpes on.
Yeah, it's me.
Big herpes on the phone.
No.
The big H.
No, not
you
the.
You need more herpes.
Not the happies.
Yes, we send over herpes.
No, the medication. The other pills.
Yes.
The happies.
Oh, for the yeast.
No, not those.
For
the
yeast. You herpes have yeast now.
Scroll down.
Scroll. Syphilis, gonorrhea. I'm going to turn over all the cards. Arlene Francis, you want to make guess? No? What do you have? Hepatitis C, D, E, R, the clap? What do you have?
We could just keep
HIV.
It
hey! Now, they always get somebody from the Soviet Union.
Right,
crazy,
a lot of them are Eastern European.
Crazy European. We need triple cocktail for the herpes queen. She's an AZT.
Could you just keep it a little down?
Valtorex or AZT?
On a private.
All right.
Herpes queen.
No, they are. I wish they use their inside voice sometimes at the pharmacy.
Worst cruise ship ever. Herpes queen.
Los Angeles. Like I said, if you move, here's the deal about moving to Los Angeles. Are you living in Los Angeles, by the way, now, Erica?
Actually, I live in San Diego.
Smart.
All right. Close enough. Here's the test, and here's when you know it's time to leave whatever city you're in. You misdial a phone number. Just dial one digit off. You have your best friend, you have your family, whoever it is. Dial one digit off, and then when the guy picks up,
Mijo!
And it's an accent that you don't know, that means it's time to leave. Because you've randomly in your city just dialed one digit off the number you thought you were dialing, and you got a crazy accent. That means it's time to leave.
In the cooch business, and you got to bring up the xenophobia.
Sorry. But the pharmacist, not Latin. They are of somewhere, and I don't know where, some former Soviet republic somewhere, and you can never understand
it. Mine is Latin. She's right at the right age. God
really?
Bless her. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
unusual.
At least I'm half right.
Unusual.
Erica, what were you talking about? You and Biloxi?
Mississippi?
So how does it work? How does the Pet of the Year thing work out?
Well, Last November, we had our Pet of the Year playoffs. We had, like, all the girls would come together. We had photo shoots and media. And it's and
the final whore. I watch it. I mean, four. You have the playoffs. And who's doing the voting? Is somebody doing the voting?
Everybody. They had a website. It was, like, petoftheyear.com. And the general public could go on the website and vote. So Penthouse made the decision based off of voting and how well you do with media. And so
it's really, it's a popularity contest where you don't wear underpants.
Right.
I like that. Now, how's the family back in Mississippi? Because it's a conservative
the
part
family.
Of the country.
Yeah, the family.
Not hip? Not cool? Or are they all right?
Well, the majority of my family knows what I do. My dad's side isn't really as conservative as my mom's side. Some people in my mom's family don't really know what I do. And I'm not going to volunteer that information anytime soon if they find out.
You must walk by a newsstand.
No, no.
but these days, I mean, isn't sort of, with half the celebrities out there with some sort of bootleg porn going around YouTube and all the other outlets of, not that this, I don't consider this pornography. What I'm saying is, if your daughter is doing Penthouse in the 70s, it's, black sheep of the family. But nowadays, there are many more things you can do to disgrace your family.
Right. yeah, definitely. But
this is a 5. This is not a 7.5 or an 8.
Right. There's no cup involved.
Yes.
There's cups.
Yes.
When my dad found out, he didn't talk to me for like 3 months.
3 months?
Oh, what's your dad do?
Jeez, I'd oppose.
He just retired from Halliburton.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay. I
Strategery.
So he's rebuilding Iraq.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting. Now,
ka-ching.
Now you grow up in this environment that is, fairly conservative, not a broken family, dad's gainfully employed, so on and so forth. This is an interesting angle for you to take. You want to be an engineer or an architect at some point. How does this work? Like, when do you get the wild hair that says, take pictures of myself in the nude?
I really don't know because, trust me, I'm the last person, like growing up, I'm the last person anyone would ever expect it to be naked on the cover of Penthouse magazine, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of shocker when that came out a year ago.
I was flabbergasted, by the way. I said, what is this young architect doing in a bikini?
Little Erica Allison.
Erica, who took the photos of you that you submitted to Penthouse?
Actually, a girlfriend of mine. Yeah. Not like a girlfriend, but like just a friend that's a girl.
Did you guys have a little cocktail before the photo session?
No.
I was like, whenever they do those things, whether it be Penthouse or Playboy or whatever, they're talking to the 19-year-old chick who's from Kentucky, and they're like, this is my first nude pictorial. And I'm always like, really? You didn't do ones when you were 10 and 11? Because I would do nude layouts. It was a different era. But, you know, back in the 70s, early 80s, when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, we did nude pictorials every Friday. I don't know. Really?
7 months old in the tub.
First nude pictorial. Wow. Wow. But this was. Now, was this your first nude pictorial?
Yeah, well, the very first photo shoot I ever did was with Penthouse.
And do the porn guys come a knocking now? Because this is a little bit of a farm league. Like, they come up and they go, hey, if you're doing this, you want to do this?
Yeah, I've had a few offers, and there's a few guys that are actually in the industry, male talent that have been trying.
And what do you say to that? Wait for my dad's birthday?
And when you say trying,
yeah, happy birthday, Dad.
You mean you've been experimenting?
Dad, you have a Blu-ray format over there in Biloxi?
Yeah, it's a new format.
So not going to go that direction.
No plans to do that.
So what do you do? You obviously you tour the country. You speak to youth groups and church groups. you wear this, you know, the crown and the hold the scepter. And then when your year is up, what does Penthouse Pet of the Year do?
I'll probably go back to school and continue modeling, and I'll have a website.
And when you say modeling?
Modeling, just what I'm doing now.
Right now?
Pretty much.
Nude modeling.
whatever.
Because here's the problem with nude modeling. Once you go nude modeling, it's hard
to go,
back. It's like it's like a restaurant that opens an all-you-can-eat buffet and then goes, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and go back to the menu. Everyone's like, screw that.
It's a gateway drug.
I didn't tell you to bust out the Mojo potatoes, but you did, and now I'm hungry. So so back to modeling, back to Biloxi, perhaps, to go to school. Where do you go to school?
No, I'm actually considering moving to Vegas.
That's shrewd. We got the Biloxi Blues. Let's make a blue balls. We got Penthouse Pet of the Year, Erica Ellis. Jade, stage four. Hey, everybody, shake your moneymakers. You got that big key hanging from your neck, and that's the key to my heart. Let's make it my underpants. Don't tell her dad. He's over at Halliburton over there charging 70 grand for a toilet seat. Jade, stage four. Always a little business to take care of.
Have you done any dancing?
No.
Oh, well, then you have no idea what I was talking about.
But you have to do a little dancing. You go to Vegas as the pet of the penthouse pet of the year. You're going to have to do a little dancing, yes?
Not really, no.
There's no requirement. There's no mandate by God or
no
Bob Guccione Jr.
But a few drinks in me, and I like to be naked.
Ah. Hey, everybody, Bob Guccione's getting up on stage. He's the 70-year-old guy with Grecian formula in his chest hair. Talks like he's from England and has his shirt undone to his navel. More chains than Hannibal from the A-Team. No, wait a minute. Who wore the A-Team? He's sweaty. He's swarmy. He's got big hair from the 70s. He looks like B.A. Baracus. He's actually darker than Brian. Jade, stage four. Have you met Guccione?
He doesn't own the magazine anymore.
Oh, damn it.
Erica, what's this I hear? And forgive me for asking
private.
But what's this I hear about you staying with Pauly Shore when you're in town?
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I didn't. I was going to stay at his house last night as friends. Oh,
sure.
But I didn't.
You guys got a ton to talk about.
What?
Halliburton?
Look, you guys led the same life. His dad was a comedian who owned the comedy.
Mom.
All right, no. Hold on a second.
He was the weasel. And,
No, he's going to want to have sex with you.
I know. He's already made that clear, it hasn't happened.
Now, how do you just stay at his house and avoid having sex with Pauly Shore?
Because that's an important thing to teach. I'm like, look, I just want to be your friend.
Well, why not have sex with the weasel?
I don't know.
Hello.
Why not?
I don't know.
He was the Wheeze.
I hung out with him this past weekend in Vegas. He's pretty cool. My phone back.
He did. Go to the same pharmacist.
Where was it?
Somebody stole it.
Somebody stole your phone?
But I got it back, so it's okay.
Easy to spot because it was bedazzled.
Probably. Now, do you stay on the couch at Pauly Shore's?
I don't know. I haven't been over to his house.
All right. So he wanted you to sleep over, but he said no can do. Now, do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Well, what's wrong with Pauly Shore? Single, successful. I hear he's a virgin.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So you just think you're going to become a statistic.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really cautious when it comes to dating.
All right. Yeah. So it's like, hey, Dad, good news and bad news.
I'm dating Pauly Shore.
The good news is I'm doing hardcore porn now. Bad news, I have Pauly Shore. And he's like, hold on. All right. So, Erica Ellison, good luck to you, by the way. And, you know, we're going to be in Vegas, I think, next week. So maybe we'll catch up with you over there.
I'm going to be there on the 7th.
All right. We'll be there on the
29th at the Palms.
But we'll stay till
we'll hang for 10 days or so.
Okay, you should, definitely.
Congratulations on being
Thank
pet of the
you.
Year.
Me, you, and Pauly will go out again on newsstands as we speak. Penthouse Pet of the Year. And if you don't like nudity, well, you can just read my article about my movie. And if you like nudity, you can literally turn the next page and see Danny Bonaducci nude.
Yes.
I really do feel like there's something for everybody in this month's penthouse issue.
That's true.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, totally topical TiVo trivia today. Now, this is a fun game, and I found out we're all pretty damn good at it. Brian beat me by a Smurf's sea hair.
That was awesome.
Last time we played. We take the TiVo description of the movie, we start in, and whoever knows the movie first chimes in. We'll do it next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show. Have you ever noticed your TiVo gives really ambiguous program descriptions? We did too, and we turned it into a game. So let's play on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you guys want to get your $20 out? You want to do it that way? Or you want to play for people? I don't think we have any gifts to give away.
Well, if we play for money, I'm sure to lose. But if we play for someone else, I'll probably win.
All right. Well, Bald Brian was doing pretty well at every game we played, although I do think he lost the last time or two.
I think so. But this is your game. You're the Christy Yamaguchi. This is yours to lose.
Thank you.
Yes. You're the white, heavy-set, bald, talentless Christy Yamaguchi of this TiVo game. Yeah, although let's not forget, he beat me by, I would say, a tenth of a second the last time we played. We're all tied up. I think it's best out of 10. It was 3-3-3 straight across the board. But I do feel like this is Bald Brian's wheelhouse. Again, these are actual TiVo descriptions. Dawson. Do you have a drop? You have a drop for Dawson, by the way?
No, I never ever do.
Okay.
Later, Hosen.
Dawson will be reading the actual TiVo description. Now, I assume what we did is we took a mixture of movies. It wouldn't be fair just to stay in the sci-fi genre. That would be too easy for Brian. It wouldn't be fair just to do the girls movie. That would be too easy. Or if you want the porn route, too easy for the Ace Man. So I'm sure they spread it out quite nicely. Do we have an intro?
Let's play Totally Topical TiVo Trivia. Time today.
All right, Dawson is going to read the description as it shows up on your TiVo menu. Whoever knows the answer can chime in first by saying their name. Look, if it's Midnight Run and you say Midnight Runner, I'll let you... I'll give it a pass. I'll if you know the movie, I won't disqualify you on a syllable or whatever. If it's Jaws and you say Jaw, I'm going to go ahead and give that. Should we all agree on that?
Sure.
That you don't have to get the exact verbatim title.
No ticky-tack calls.
Okay. Here we go.
A human killing machine and an airline hostess take on an ousted dictator's private army.
Whoa.
Adam.
Jeez.
I'm going to say, Air Force One.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Brian. Under Siege?
Also incorrect. Yeah. T, it's all yours.
Steel Magnolia?
Passenger 57.
No, from 1985, the movie is Commando.
Oh. Commando?
Hmm. According to TiVo.
Yeah, you're right. No, you know what the Ray Don Chong was the... You know what our problem was? The way TiVo described it, it sounded like it took place on an airplane.
Right.
Right.
It did not. He hooked up with her, not on an airplane.
Sure.
In LAX. Very interesting. And by the way, the first time, none of us got it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number two. A storybook stable boy turns pirate and Brian.
A Princess Bride. The Princess Bride.
That is correct. From 1987.
Nice.
The Princess Bride.
Gaying.
He's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
I didn't know he was a stable boy.
He was a stable boy.
Inconceivable.
There you go. All right, Brian up 1-0. Here we go.
A deceased inventor's unfinished creation.
Brian. Mm-hmm. It's Edward Scissorhands.
Wow.
What? Wow.
How the hell did you get that?
God. He died, and then his unfinished creation.
Yeah, from 1990, Edward Scissorhands.
I like I didn't wait for you to say that.
Less than 2 seconds.
Unbelievable.
All right, Bald Brian up 2-0.
Here we go. Two West Coast yuppies sell everything.
Teresa.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, okay. City Slickers.
Adam.
No, Brian. Oh, damn it.
Lost
Adam.
In America.
Yeah, that is correct. From 1985, it is Lost in America.
Albert Brooks.
Mm.
Great movie.
That was a good movie.
That was good.
Damn.
All right, the score right now, Brian has 2. Oh. Adam has 1. And Teresa has donuts. An Atlanta widow and her chauffeur.
Teresa.
Adam. Brian.
Adam. Teresa.
Driving Miss Daisy.
That is correct. From 1989.
Brian's name out. So confused.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Now he yells out my name before I yell my name.
T, you're on the board.
Thank God.
All right.
Two pinheads try to
Adam. Dumb and Dumber.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Try to impress former classmates with far-fetched success stories.
Brian.
Oh,
Brian. This is one of my favorite movies, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
That is correct.
Nice.
You don't call a girl a pinhead.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Talk to TiVo, man.
Girls aren't pinheads.
I know.
You ever call a girl a pinhead?
Everyone knows we're skanks.
Yes.
They're bimbos.
Bimbos. Pinheads? Really? Has there ever been a girl called a pinhead?
Never. Not
seriously.
Until
two pinheads. That's Dumb and Dumber. I say I win that one. All right. Now, who won that one? Bald Brian?
Yeah. He's killing
us. What else he got?
Brian has 3.
3, 1, and 1.
Yes.
God damn it.
Two clumsy bureaucrats are trained as spies.
Adam. Spies Like Us.
From 1985, it is nice. Spies Like Us.
I heard they're bureaucrats.
It's TiVo. They call women pinheads.
They are actually traffic cops.
All right, 3, 2, and 1. Here we go.
Troubled people attempt to mend their lives as they brace themselves for a comet that threatens...
Adam. Oh... The Day After Tomorrow. No, that's the Frozen
Brian.
Movie. That's the Frozen movie. This is... Oh, God damn it. Was just on TiVo. That's Tia Leone in it. Brian. For the love of Christ. Hold on. No, there's no time limit here.
There is a time limit.
Shush, I can't think with your time talk. Have you checked the door? What does it say on it?
Studio M.
All right.
Remember those neat days when Brian only spoke through drops?
All right.
I know. All right. They brace themselves.
Later, the thing coming.
Oh, come on.
All right. It's not the day after Brian. Tomorrow. Go
deep,
ahead.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. There you go. Brian
I have not
won.
Seen any
Brian
of those
won.
Movies.
God damn it. I could have tied it with that goddamn Deep Impact.
Brian has 4, Adam has 2, and Teresa has 1. Moving on.
Mm.
Vicious criminals continue to harass a man and his wife after he thwarts a robbery attempt at his diner.
Adam.
Oh.
History of Violence.
Yeah. That is correct, from 2005.
Damn, that Deep Impact. It was just on stupid cable last week.
History of Violence, and Adam, your chance to tie the game.
All right.
Right here.
Oh, he has 3?
Adam has 3.
Really?
Brian has 4. Teresa has 1.
Mm. Now, hold on. Should Teresa be out of this one?
I think I'm mathematically out.
You're mathematically out.
But what if she wins this
you
one?
Said
if she wins this
then
one,
Brian
then Brian wins.
Wins
the
All
game.
Right, so you're in, baby.
Okay. Okay. To get out of trouble, a hotshot lawyer opts for community service.
Brian. Ooh, I don't know if I know this one. It's the Keanu Reeves movie. It is... Hardball?
Time. What about time?
Right.
What about time? We got time.
Hardball.
And time.
That is incorrect.
Damn. Continue reading.
Oh, wait. Go ahead.
Ops
I think I know
for
it.
Community service.
Teresa.
Go
Mighty,
ahead.
Mighty Ducks?
Wow.
Oh!
From 1992. Mighty Ducks.
You said Keanu Reeves.
I said Keanu Reeves. I thought
Brian
it was
Brian said
the
Keanu
baseball
Reeves.
Movie.
Oh, I want to punch you.
Woo!
I said Keanu Reeves, not that's Emilio Estevez. Oh, damn it. So now Brian wins. Oh.
And because of Teresa.
The dance with the Ewoks.
Brian wins.
All right.
I should have taken myself out of that.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have.
Again, read the entire whatever.
To get out of trouble, a hotshot lawyer opts for community service, coaching rowdies in peewee hockey.
Oh, T, you bitch. You bitch.
Don't be mad at me. Your 20s
You had
away.
To jump in. You couldn't have won. He could have finished it out, and I would have got the peewee hockey thing, and of course I would have got the Mighty Ducks. There's only one peewee hockey movie ever made.
Oh, fork it over.
Stupid Deep Impact.
For more totally topical TiVo trivia.
God damn it. That goddamn Deep Impact was on cable all last week. God damn it.
This
All
is
right.
a great game.
So close. All right, where the hell are we? I got to go lick my wounds. Hey, it's Judah Freelander here, by the way. Or are we doing American recap? All right, do American Idol recap.
The girls sang last night.
Mm-hmm.
Some great singers and some total disasters, and I'm not even talking about Paula.
You don't separate. It doesn't matter what people say. Is she a one-trick pony? You're not.
Right.
You tell
People
me.
Say she's a one-trip pony.
What did that mean?
Well, it means you just take the pony out to, you know, to get the mail, and then you leave them there.
You don't
trip the pony.
Is that it?
Not you just take one trip, not a round trip.
Right.
Single way. Right.
I was confused, and now I'm totally clear.
Hold on a second. Hey, Julie.
Hi.
What's up, Julie?
Well, I live in Chicago, so Oprah airs at 9 a.m. here.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last hour, I've been multitasking. I've had Oprah on in the background, streaming your show at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What a waste of time.
Mm.
Hi, Julie. How was the show?
Let's put it this way. At about 9:52, they announced the cast, and Adam was on for as long as it took him to say, Adam Carolla, radio host, and comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did that take? Like 1.5, 2 seconds?
Felt like forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My agent said it was a little slow. So maybe pace it up next time.
I wasted my time watching her show for that.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing.
Well, listen, Dillweed, or Pinhead, as you ladies are always referred to as Pinhead.
Is this Romy or Michelle?
Yeah. Every time I see a couple of hot-looking dumb chicks, I go, those Pinheads. Pinheads. Has any male ever called a woman a pinhead?
I know. It almost took me 2 seconds to get it.
Shut up. Two pinheads, dumb and dumber. Is this, all right. Damn it. Listen, Julie, pinhead.
Oh, come on now.
Listen to me. I have been saying for the last 2 days on this radio program that I went out onto Oprah and waved and then turned around and went home.
I know.
What part of that did you not understand or believe?
I know. I really was hoping for more, and I should have trusted you, and I fell prey to the, you know, hope that maybe there was something more.
Nice to talk to you.
All right,
Julie,
baby girl.
You're going to get to watch Dancing with the Stars. You'll get tons of that.
And I swear I've never watched the show, and now I'm going to watch it because I really want to see how you do. I really hope you do well.
Thanks, Pinhead.
I really do. Oh, come on.
All right, baby.
Oh, come on.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for not listening.
Hey, what is it, 0 degrees over there today?
It's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh, it's ridiculous.
This is novelty cold in Chicago.
Yeah, it's really crazy cold. It's nuts. So, yeah, enjoy your walking outside without a coat on.
Yeah, I know. I was wearing sandals and a banana hammock.
You know, we always laugh at people when we go to the airport when we're leaving and see people coming off the plane in the middle of the winter. We know they're from, like, California or something when they walk off the plane with their flip-flops and their flowery shirts.
Well, I'll tell you.
Now, who else has got some
stories? I'll tell you what it is. And she's not even traveling. She's just going to the airport for entertainment. Let me say, it's the same reason why my sunglasses are still at Kimmel's house from the Super Bowl, which is you walk in the daytime and you're wearing sunglasses. You leave in the nighttime and you don't bring your sunglasses home because you don't step outside and go, where are my sunglasses? It's dark outside. When you leave your house in Los Angeles and it's 86 degrees, you don't think, hey, where's my parka and muff? T, where is it? All right, Pinhead, we need to take ourselves a break. Baldhead won the game.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I really feel like I was like...
Thank you, Teresa,
like,
for your magnanimous
two bounces.
I,
you know what I felt like? I feel like a team that just lost because I got a couple of bad bounces.
Yeah, you didn't get the
like,
roll.
I feel like the first time you almost won was an aberration. I don't think I'll ever come close to losing one of these.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I was distracted the first time.
We've played two times.
Yeah.
The first time you beat me by 1/10 of a second.
I feel like I was distracted. I wasn't really paying close attention because I
heard
the sound effects.
All right, Dillweed. We'll take a break. Let's do our stupid American Idol recap next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's time to recap last night's American Idol.
You being you.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yeah.
Well, all America's talking about it. Why not us?
I know we're supposed to be in the cooch business. But the Cooches sang last night, so we're close.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them had colds and bronchitis. That was kind of a big story. One of the singers that the judges loved, Amanda Overmeyer. She's the rocker nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she sang Baby Please Don't Go.
That was my nickname when I was working construction.
Rocker nurse?
Mm-hmm.
They loved her.
Mm-hmm. White chick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds just like Janis Joplin.
Mm-hmm.
On the not-so-good side,
mm-mm.
Very, very pretty girl named Amy Davis, 25. This may be one of the worst performances I've seen, not including the Sanjaya types that are novelty.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, you know, clearly has a good voice. I don't know what happened.
Nerves, right?
Nerves. Yeah. Where the boys are.
You know what it's like? It's like, you see people doing figure skating and they fall early in the routine and you go, they get themselves up and they sort of brush themselves off and they keep going, but you realize they're carrying that fall around.
Right.
When they crack a note or they screw something up, I mean, that just has to mess with you to no end. When you get a few bars in your song, you realize you missed a note or you didn't hit it right, and you just have to finish it out.
Yeah, and you know 30 million people have just watched and heard you blow it.
No, I would never put myself in that position.
Why would you? I mean, that would be crazy.
Oh, that would be insane.
Wouldn't it be so easy to just...
stay home and make fun of it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Completely concur.
You know, Paula's always got us... try to find something positive to say, and she struggles to do so. Here is Amy Davis, a former model, being judged.
All right, so listen, I mean, I didn't think it was great, and here's why. So a lot of country singers kind of scoop up to the notes, and when you do that, Patsy Cline is the greatest doing that. I mean, unbelievable. But when you scoop up to the note, you got to hit that note dead on, and there was just a lot of pitch problems there. So
what?
It wasn't great for
stop
me.
Stop the presses. Yeah. Randy Jackson said something was pitchy?
Huh.
Hmm. Wow.
Only here's Paula.
I'm going to say something very positive. The camera loves you. I don't know if it was the most engaging song for you to sing. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little lackluster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Paula can't crap out a compliment.
She says she's hot. That was a compliment.
That was a compliment.
Yeah, but it's a singing competition, not a hotness competition. I'm just saying, when she can't crap out a compliment, you are in trouble.
The camera loves
Yeah,
it.
That was one of the most difficult performances I've seen.
Mm.
Asia Epperson. Now, she spells her name Asia and then apostrophe H.
Mm.
It's a silent apostrophe H.
Mm-hmm.
She's 19 years old, and you may remember her, as I know you watch the audition shows.
Hold on. Asia.
A-S-I-A, Asia.
Which is a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apostrophe
H.
It's a name. We have that.
Yeah.
Why is the apostrophe H there?
I don't know.
It's purely decorative.
It's decorative.
Uh-huh.
It serves no purpose.
Confuse Whitey.
It's vestigial.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a vestigial apostrophe H.
So
no
it's
longer
an appendix,
needed.
Essentially.
It's Asia.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe that's right. How it's pronounced.
I just hate all these retards giving their kids. I don't blame the kid, although I do blame the kid for not just dropping it. But I blame all the retarded parents, all the narcissistic parents that give their kids retarded names. And then for the rest of that kid's life, the world must be corrected by your imbecile child. So it's Asia H? No, it's Asia. Oh, so it's not Asia. Every single place you go... these guys are the close retarded cousins to the guy who names their kid a name that sounds exactly like another name, except for they change one letter. Hi, my name's Kerp.
Anthony.
Kerp? Kurt? No, it's Kerp. Oh, it's not Kurt? No, it's Kerp. Oh, so you have, by the way, we're having this conversation. You must be having this conversation 4 times a day, and that's low ball. I'm low, 4 to 15 times a day, every day for your entire life. Yes, when you're retarded enough to name your kid Amphorny.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Asia apostrophe H must have to say the words apostrophe H. No. I mean, it must be infinite.
Yeah, I got to say this. School teachers deserve another 10 grand a year for all the retarded names that the retarded parents are giving the retarded kids. They really do. There was just back in the day, just be like Jamie and Tony and Sandy and Susan. That was done. Amphorny and Asia.
What's her name?
Asia.
Well, it'd be difficult to be too angry with her parents as her father passed away.
He's the one who died day before?
2 days before her initial audition.
For the love of Christ, the guy was like 15. What the hell happened to him?
And she's saying, how do I live? And she kind of got broken up.
F-bomb in there.
You might have.
No, I just said fuck. Would you chime in before I get too deep into making fun of someone's name when they're dead?
I tried.
Oh, please.
Occasionally, I have trouble.
You know, that wasn't the old college try. That was the angry liberal NYU try, which is not the old college try.
It's a new college
That's
try.
That's right. All right. So her dad. Yeah, I was watching that. Her dad seriously looked like he was 29. What happened to the dad?
Automobile accident. 2 days before her audition, she felt like he would want her to go, and she made it through to Hollywood, and now she's in the final 12 girls, and she sang Peace of My Heart. I think she smashed it. Years old, has just had a horrible trauma, incredible on stage.
Well, it seems like everybody does. Uh-oh. Jesus. I don't know. I just did some horrible math in my head. But I was thinking, you know, Brett Favre, his dad kicked off, then he went and played the game of his life on Monday Night Football. Yeah. Kicks off. I'm just saying, Dad, if you're listening, I got a Dancing with the Stars coming up.
Wow.
I'm not saying take yourself out.
Wait a second, didn't the Osmonds' dad die?
Mm-mm.
And Dr. Quinn's mom died.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. But your parents are so healthy.
I know, but this was a car accident. This guy was healthy, too.
Complete accident. It could happen.
All right. Listen, Dad, I'm just saying, I don't want you driving into a drainage ditch or anything like that, but don't put the seatbelt on next time you go to a liquor store.
I have a difficult question for you. If, God forbid, your father would have an accident, and you got a call. It was a car accident. Would you say which car?
It would have hurt more or less.
Was in the lease?
If this was in the CRV.
No, I didn't lease my dad a new car this year.
Oh.
No
Jag?
I did ironically a Jag about not leasing him a Jag. Look, he didn't drive the car. I leased him to my house the last three times he came over. So I said, lease your own car this year.
Okay, this is the last one I'll play you. All the buzz was about Carly Smithson. She's the Irish girl. She had a record deal when she was younger. The record company spent $2 million making it and promoting it. It sold under 400 copies. So this is her second chance. She's 24 now. And here she sings Shadow of Your Smile.
A teardrop kissed me on the lips and said, "Did I come back when I remember spring? The joy that love can bring."
Well, Randy and Paula predictably loved her, but Simon said it was a letdown.
There's so much hype about you, and there's so much expectation. Yes, there is. I mean, there's a buzz about you.
Oh, then that's a good thing.
Do you want me to talk or not?
No.
Okay, that's true. Well, I'm going to. I thought the song was way too old-fashioned for you. I even thought your mic technique was very cabaret. Everything about it, for me, was a letdown. And I know that you've got bronchitis. I'm sorry. Sorry, but I've sat here year after year when someone with your capabilities has come out and totally blown me away, whether it was Kelly or Fantasia, and I was genuinely expecting something fantastic. I didn't think it was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Authentic, the big buzzword for the year.
How about those two great minds going at it? Can I talk? Okay. Well, then I'm gonna.
Zing!
Ooh, zing! I mean, it's really, it's like having a couple of comedians up there trading barbs at a roast. Let's hear that again. I mean, listen to these two great minds. I understand, you know, Paula, you know, we make fun of her, but let's give the devil her due.
There's so much hype about you. And there's so much expectation. Yes, there is. I mean, there's a buzz about you.
Oh, then that's a good thing.
Do you want me to talk or not?
No.
Zing.
That's true. Well, I'm going to.
Wow, right back at you, baby.
You went up to.
Damn, it's like having Rickles and Jeff Ross on the same dais. Wow, it's good stuff. That's why they both get $8 million a year or $14 million a year.
Well, I'm sure Judah Friedlander will enjoy their comedy stylings.
Well, he could never ascend to those heights. Never.
It's just, you know, it's something to aspire to.
Yeah. Super whip smart, both those two. Again, I've said it once. I'll say it 100,000 times. Simon. Smart because he's sandwiched between two gourds. I mean, essentially, you know when the, on Thanksgiving, you put the little centerpiece out? They got those little miniature pumpkins.
Yeah.
More personality and funnier than Paula and Randy. Yes?
Well, the camera loves her.
Okay.
I try to say something positive.
All I'm saying is Simon, 5. He's nestled in between a couple of 1.5s. Thus, he's a 10. Good times.
Judah Friedlander.
That's right. He is from, he's going to be at the Improv coming up, but 30 Rock. One of the best shows on TV for my money. Yes?
Yeah. Alec Baldwin's great.
Critics agree, too. Baldwin is great at just about everything he does. All right, Judah Friedlander, he's the guy who always wears the hats. Actually, he's wearing one right now.
Yeah, the glasses.
He is from 30 Rock. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv. Much to discuss with Judah next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, intern, what the f*** my Danish? I've been waiting a minute.
Hey, yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Hey, thank you, sir.
What is this?
Damn.
Ask for a donut, dude. Get the f*** out of here. Give me a donut.
Okay.
And get the f*** out of here, man. Okay.
And now, Judah Friedlander on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Judah.
Good seeing you, man.
Judah's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. And 30 Rock, some say, and I would include my voice amongst those, best show on television. I mean, Baldwin.
He's the man.
He really is. And Tracy Morgan is nuts but great.
Yeah. It's a fun show to do, man. I have no complaints, so it's cool.
Now, what's the schedule like? Rider strike over, people coming back to
work? Yeah, I just got a call. We have a read-through next week, and then the week after that. So in a week and a half, we start filming. So we're going to do 5 new episodes, and then I think they start airing April 10th.
And you guys, did you basically just take a 3-month sabbatical? I mean, you did stand-up
comedy. Yeah, I always do stand-up, so, you know. Yeah, for me, it was like, you know, kind of like life back to normal. Just,
right.
You know, doing stuff. So.
So, but you're out on the West Coast, I should say, the East Coast.
Yeah, I live in New York.
Time.
I live in Queens, yeah. So, but I've been on the road a lot in New York doing stand up. Did a little part in a movie.
Judah,
and,
by the way, you've done a lot of parts in a lot of movies. But
I get around.
Judah was telling me he lived next door to a place I had a very famous episode in my life at, which is. We used to go to a pool hall when we were done with the man show on Friday nights and shoot pool and drink beer. And I parked my car at a 7-Eleven that was across the street, and it was not parked in the parking lot of the 7-Eleven. It was parked underneath the sign.
Yeah, I know it.
And somebody screamed at me about 2 a.m., your car's being towed, and I came running out from the pool hall, and my car was up on a tow truck. It wasn't the flatbed kind.
Right.
It was the kind where they put the two forks underneath your back axle and lift the back of your car up and tow it that way.
Yeah, that's worse.
It is. And I caught the guy. I mean, I got to him. And I miss these days. Tell me if you miss these days, Judah. Uh-huh. I felt like there was a time in this country where you would pull out $20, a stack of $20, fold it in half. and you would peel a few of them off and all your problems would go away. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean,
whether it was the tow truck driver or the maitre d' or the cop or the hooker or whatever it was, you do that move where they had to be folded in half.
Oh, yeah, you got to order at least in half, yeah.
And then you have to lick your finger, and then you'd go, what's going to take to make this go away? And you do the, you know, whatever. And my car was, I had a couple beers in me, but my car was being towed. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? And the guy's like, you can follow me to the impound lot and then go get it from the guy at the impound lot. And I said, or I could give you a couple of dollars right now and you could just lower the car back down. And he said, I can't do that.
Yeah, see, I blame the credit card companies. It all goes back to them and the internet. Nobody cares about cash anymore, man.
Cash doesn't talk anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be that BS walked and that... Cash talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would get confused because people go, do you talk the talk or do you walk the walk? And I'd be like, well, which walk? The BS walk?
Right. Or the money?
Or the money
talking?
Yeah,
now you got to wire money into their account. That's what they wanted.
I know the guy had an offshore account and I wanted money. So I was like, look, buddy, how much does it cost to get the thing out of the impound yard when I go do it? He's like, $80. I'm like, okay, look, I will give you $80. Kindly lower the car. No. Cannot do. Imagine that, a crazy foreigner here in Los Angeles. I said, look, you don't understand. I'm not trying to bribe you. I'm just trying to pay you in advance. He said, I can't do it.
Make it easier for everyone.
Make it easier for everyone. And then because he's a tow truck driver and practically retarded, he said, what am I supposed to tell my boss? And I said, let me ask you this. Do you ever get called out to tow a car, show up, and the car is gone? And he goes, all the time. I go, all right.
That's what you said.
That's what just happened here. And he said, nope, cannot do. And I said, yes, can. And he said, no, cannot. And he got into his car, and he started to tow it. And I jumped into my car, and I stepped on the brake. And my front end locked up, and he started dragging my locked up front end. And I was like, now, I don't know what you guys would have done. And I don't exactly know what the law is on this one,
yeah.
Judah.
Well, I'm a master of the martial arts, so I probably would have killed him right there.
Well, you're a physically imposing man.
I'm a world champion, so, you know.
I don't think he would have even gotten this far with you. All Judah would have done is loosen his gi just a little bit.
I would have just done like a quarter flex of my bicep, and he would have given me my car back.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you do it? Would you do it? Would you pretend to scratch the back of your neck and shoot him a gun that way? Or how
that's
do you
a
do
classic
it?
Move. Yeah, that always works. Or just a little, just hold the fist up a little bit and just a little twinge.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't have the gun, so he wasn't listening to me. So he said, I'm towing you. And I said, please don't. And then at a certain point, after we went back and forth for a long time, I called him an a-hole. And he did that thing that all a-holes do where he goes, oh, now it's on, which is like, hey, a-hole, for 40 minutes, I was begging you not to tow my vehicle. Eventually, I called you an a-hole, and now it's on. What? I think it was on 40 minutes ago when you started towing my car and refused to take my money. So I jumped in the car, and I put my foot on the brake, and I would not let it happen.
So what happened then?
Well, what happened next took a turn for the surreal, because he would get out of his car and yell at me to let go of my brake, and I would yell at him to be a human being, and he would run back to his car, shut the door, and put it in gear, and I would run back to my car and hit the brake. Now, anyone who knows anything about brakes, 70% of it is on the front brakes. That's where your car brakes. So he couldn't drag me, and we kept squaring
off.
Awesome,
because he dragged you from behind. The back of the
car was literally 3 feet off the ground. It was as high off the ground as this table console is off the ground. And I was leasing an expensive BMW M3, like a $50,000 BMW. It was brand new. And we kept squaring off. And eventually, when I was in my car, one of my buddies, and this is a New York thing, Tom Stern was the guy.
Oh, yeah, I know Tom. Yeah.
You know Tom Stern?
Yeah.
All right, so you know Tom Stern is nuts, right?
Yeah.
Tom Stern used to work with monkeys for, like, TBS when they do all those monkey interstitial things.
Yeah, yeah.
Until he snapped one day and pulled his genitalia out in the middle of a meeting with a bunch of executives from TBS. And,
I thought
fired.
You were going to say with the monkeys.
No.
I've done that before.
No. So he was, of course.
His story was later told to Michael Clayton.
We immediately snapped him up at the man show.
Right. I mean, with a CV like that.
Yes. Tom, who's, you know, pretty nuts and very New York-y, banged on my window because he was at the man show party too. And he said, unstrap the car, let's roll. And I said, I am 3 foot off the ground in my sports car. It's the kind of thing where if you drove off a curb, you'd do 40 grand worth of damage with the car. And then he smacked on the window again and he yelled, I've unlashed the tires. The tires were lashed to these prongs that go under the rear tires, and they lash it with these big canvas straps. And I ran around to the other tire and unlashed it, and he unlashed the driver's side, and he tapped on the window, and he just yelled, go. It was like a mandate. Like,
did he jump into the passenger side?
No, he ran. It was like a prison break, except for I was going to get out in 2 days, and I didn't even know the gang. All of a sudden, somebody yelled, the wall's down, we're going, and I just dropped my shovel and started running. I jumped into the car. It was a ship. It was a manual. I put it in first, dropped the clutch. The car lurched forward because it was sitting up on these prongs, and then dropped 4 feet onto the ground, and I hauled ass out of that 7-Eleven.
And Tom Stern is running.
Tom Stern
Tom
ran the other direction.
You guys are an action team.
Let me say this to the tow truck driver who tried to tow me that fateful night many years ago. F you, you prick. You went home with a tow truck filled with nothing but air and a lap filled with tears, you a-hole. F you.
Didn't he have your license and information?
I paced around for like the next 3 days waiting for a deputy to show up at my house. Nope, it never happened. So
he knew not to mess with you, man.
F you. I drove right off your piece of F-S tow truck.
I like
Thank
that
you
had the stick shift, too. That makes it even better.
It was a little
That's
more
the kicker
difficult.
Of the story.
I had to drop the clutch.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I heard a huge, horrible sound come from the back of my car as my car drove off the back of the tow truck.
Did you get his license plate?
I did not.
Because I got my own tow truck. We'll tow him, dude.
Oh, really?
Let's get back at him. Let's get back at him.
Yes.
Let's tow some tow trucks,
For toe.
Yeah.
We'll go toe-to-toe with his ass.
That should be our new show, man. Toe-to-toe.
I got home. I realized the next morning that the place where you put your spare tire inside of your trunk, that well, was not below ground anymore.
It
had been pushed up and turned out. It wasn't any.
So the turkey was done.
It had been turned into an Audi. Not the car, the belly button.
When you turned in the car after the lease was up, how'd that go?
I took apart the trunk, I took out the spare tire, and I jumped up and down in the pit where it used to be until I smashed it back down, put the spare tire. Never cost me a penny. And F you, tow truck guy.
The man show guy really lived the life.
But listen, Judah Friedlander, what have we become where you can't take a tow truck driver of all people and give him $100 and have him turn the other way?
America was built on buying people off, and to not do that is un-American.
And now
I agree with you.
And now that you have a couple ducats in your wallet, you long for those days.
Yeah, but things work out perfectly for me. I never have any problems.
You don't?
No
run-ins? I'm too physically imposing, you know?
That's true.
People know I can mess them up, so nobody messes with me.
It is true. When you see that Judah could snap you like kindling, you tend just to back off.
But Judah, do you take on armed opponents as well?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was...
I got lethal weapons right here.
That's right. The hands.
The hands.
Registered.
Feet, everything. Everything. Yeah.
So you'd be a fool to pull a gun or a knife on Judah Friedlander.
Yeah, that's why I quit the Navy SEALs, because they're always... fighting with weapons. I'm like, what do you guys want to be a man and go one-on-one, hand-to-hand? So you back down.
What you're saying is I'm a human weapon.
Oh, yeah.
What More do I need that, an M16 for?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can dig that. How long were you in the SEALs?
I've had bodyguards of mine quit because they were afraid of me.
How long? Actual members of your own posse drop out.
Yeah.
How long were you in the SEALs?
About 10 years, dude.
10 years.
Just had my reunion a couple weeks ago. Nobody showed up because they were afraid of it.
Scared. Yeah. I mean, Navy SEALs are some of the toughest cats on the planet.
That's the rumor out there. I disagree.
I can't believe they'd be intimidated by anyone. I mean, especially a guy on a sitcom.
Yeah. Well, I just do that as, you know, for fun, you know.
Oh, I see. I see.
Martial arts and sports is my main thing. You know, 30 rocks just to, you know, just for some downtime.
And what discipline are you in? Are you mixed martial artists?
No, I think those guys are the biggest wusses out there. I mean, that means they're not good at any one particular martial art.
Uh-huh.
So you know, you're like, saying, I mean, UFC guys, I mean, their big deal is they fight in an octagon.
Right.
You know, and you know, take them out of that octagon, they got nothing. You put them in a hexagon, these guys are worthless.
Mm-hmm.
I can kick any one of their butts.
So any other geometry that is formed, these guys can't handle it.
They're no good.
So basically, these guys call themselves mixed martial artists, but they're really jack of all trades, master of none.
I just, you know.
What discipline have you mastered, Judah?
Every one of them, dude. I'm an extra dark black belt.
Oh, really?
In every martial art form. I'm banned from the Shaolin Temple because I'm too good. They're afraid of me.
So
that's why they still have the Great Wall up to try to keep me out.
Now, I knew. Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was about the
I teach karate history at DeVry, too, so people know.
Wow. I thought it was about the Vandals or something. I didn't know it had to do with Judah Friedlander.
That's part of the more of the mainstream media, just not getting the story right.
So let me get this straight. There's black belts, and then there's first degree, second degree, third degree, but you're saying you have a deeper shade of black belt.
That's right. Extra dark black.
Did not know
the
that.
Are you the only black belt one there is. With that?
Yeah.
So that might be the difference between a milk chocolate and a dark chocolate.
Yeah, but it's extra dark.
Extra dark black belt.
Yeah.
And now do you break boards, ice, stuff like that?
You name it, dude.
Judah told me.
I beat up Chuck Norris this morning.
Really?
Yeah, he has to legally has to change the name to Charles.
Because of the beating?
It was that bad of a beating. You can't call him Chuck anymore.
I spoke to Judah off the air, and I said, do you break the boards or do you break the ice? And he looked at me, and he said, he freezes the boards in ice and then breaks them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually not allowed to do karate indoors anymore. Because
really?
If I did a karate kick right here, this whole building might come down.
All right.
That's how I break boards.
But this is a smallish room. Let's say we put you in the Astrodome or someplace.
Indoors. Not allowed anymore.
Not allowed to do
a
it.
A lot of sports I can't do anymore because I'm too good.
Wow.
What else are you
Javelin, banned internationally.
What happened? You throw it?
I hit a plane.
Geez.
Wow.
It fell out of the sky?
And we're not talking about a Piper Cub here.
No.
We're talking about a commercial airliner.
Yeah.
Good gravy, Judah Friedlander.
It's not always easy being the best.
Jesus.
Are there any track
Joseph
and field
and
events
Mary.
That still welcome you as a competitor?
Yeah, well, I was doing the, I'm actually banned by the Olympics because, well, I'm a professional and they're for amateurs, so.
Right.
And I don't consider them good athletes because they only compete once every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm about every day. You
right.
know? But I did the decathlon, which is a two-day event, 10 mm-hmm. events.
Mm-hmm.
I did it all in a row.
So you just did it one day?
I did the 100-yard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you kept going.
And then I went right into the long jump.
So you never slowed down.
Never slowed down. Then I did the 10,000-meter run. Then I did the shot put.
You turned left on the track.
Yeah,
you just
which
kept
meant
going.
I was carrying the shot put
the whole
time I was doing all those other
things. Oh, that's got to be a record.
Yeah, and I did it all in a row. I did the whole thing in 20 minutes.
Wow. Take that, Bruce Jenner.
How fast can you run a mile?
I don't know. I just beat a cheetah in the 100-yard dash by 75 yards.
75 out
and
of 100 yards.
And I gave him a 40-yard head start.
That seems almost mathematically impossible.
I know. And after the race, the cheetah tested positive for steroids. Can you believe that?
Now, Judah,
the fastest land animal.
Yeah.
He beat it.
I would argue that the roach is the fastest land
Those
animal.
Are fast.
But cheetah, fastest documented, fastest land animal beaten by our own
Friedlander. That's your mainstream media, the bias. You know, they don't always get the truth out there.
They don't recognize.
Yeah.
They're intimidated.
I mean, imagine if they actually said Judah Friedlander is the fastest land mammal.
Yeah. Now
every cheetah out there would probably commit suicide.
Their publicist,
their publicist would lose their jobs. You know, the economy might go down. So
unbelievable. Irvine Improv, by the way, is where you can find Judah Friedlander. Hey, Judy, want to hang out? Because I feel like we barely scratched the
Sounds
surface
good to me,
of your
man.
Athletic prowess. I spent the whole time talking about driving off a tow truck. That's what mortals do.
Well, he could have lifted the car off of the tow truck and carried it off.
Mm-hmm.
World champion, Judah Friedlander, everybody. Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Also, of course, 30 Rock. We'll be back with him next.
Successful people like myself had it rough as a kid, usually. You know, I'm a world champion, and they come from humble beginnings.
When I was three, I found $1 million bill on the street.
Right.
And I became a millionaire. And then when I was 16, I won the lottery. It's up in Richmond Hallway. It's awesome.
Now more with Judah Friedlander on the Adam Carolla Show.
Judah, you know, is the writer from 30 Rock, also Best Week Ever, one of my favorite shows on TV, VH1. Irvine Improv, tonight through Sunday. Now, Judah, we were talking about, obviously, you played ball in high school, and you then got a free ride to college, or how did it work? When did the comedy come in, by the way? I feel like...
Well, comedy, I actually got drafted right out of high school for comedy.
To do comedy?
Yeah, I was ripping one of the teachers,
mm-hmm.
you know, making fun of the teacher. The whole class started laughing. And then other classrooms started coming in because they wanted to see what all the laughter was.
Mm-hmm.
Even the principal came in, and I had the whole school just, like, laughing at this one teacher. And then a scout from one of the comedy clubs was driving on the highway about mm-hmm. 3 miles away, heard all this laughter.
Was that loud?
And just drove to it.
Over
and,
the traffic.
The rest is history. Yeah.
So you got a full scholarship to do comedy
yeah.
out of high school.
Yeah.
Free ride.
Yeah, and I wasn't even a student there. I'd quit years ago.
No, really?
Yeah, school's for nerds, so.
See, I was a walk-on over at
LA... I consider myself a nerd.
Over at LA Valley College, but it never turned... I blew out a funny bone.
You did.
And
you,
I never played
hard.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never recovered.
So you got a comedy scholarship right out of high school.
A contract with the comedy club is right out of high school.
Wow. Wow, and so that's when you put the sports aside?
No, it's just something I do, you know? I mean, when I go up on stage, I just talk about what happened that day, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's hooking up with you know, a bunch of chicks or breaking records, breaking hearts, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just tell
mm-hmm.
it like it is,
breaking bones and breaking hearts
yeah.
at the same time.
So you've been
yeah.
with a lot of women?
Yeah.
How many? I mean, if you had,
I don't know.
Well, you said in one day.
I actually read Wilt Chamberlain's book where he claims to have slept with 20,000 women.
Yeah.
In the time it took me to read that, I had already hooked up with about 15,000.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm a slow reader. I mean, it took me, you know,
took
me a couple days to read it. I'm a slow
reader.
Annie
reads on the toilet.
Yeah.
Which a lot of ladies, you
yeah.
know, won't even go there.
They still want it, man.
Wow. So, Judah, I mean, we were speaking earlier about, you know, your athletic prowess, but
yeah.
I didn't know you were such a hit with the ladies.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Chicks dig athletes, and I'm the best athlete. So.
Oh, so it's one of those math
yeah.
things.
Yeah, they just, you know, that's why, another reason I wear the hat and glasses. People ask me why, and it's because if I took the hat off, if I took the glasses off, you'd
mm-hmm.
see more of me,
mm-hmm.
and women would get even more excited, and they, you know, they get nothing done during the day.
So
I'd get nothing done. So it's just a way that I can, you know, be more productive.
So you're saying even in a certain way, more curse than blessing.
Yeah, like I said, being the best, it doesn't always mean it's the easiest.
Interesting. I never really thought about
you're
that.
You're a renaissance man, though. You do sports, and
yeah.
obviously you got a full ride doing comedy.
Yeah. Math and reading are pretty much my only weaknesses.
How about music?
Academically.
Music. No, I hate music. The only sound I like is the sound of my foot kicking someone's face in.
God.
Wow. He's very violent. And I got to say,
I have a lot of testosterone, you know.
A lot of these ladies probably have boyfriends, probably have husbands, and they don't take too kindly.
I can't tell you how many husbands and boyfriends I've had take notes, take video mm-hmm. of me hooking up with their wives and girlfriends because they want to learn. And it's an inspiring for them.
And also, they know it's either that or world-class SmackDown.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's either,
so,
you know, take your beating or
yeah.
turn on your video camera.
Right,
how do you want to play
right.
it?
So you might as well take out a pen and paper and take some notes and learn and enjoy
mm-hmm.
the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe this is something that you can't talk about for legal reasons, but I wonder if you ever killed a man?
Oh, of course that's happened. Sure.
More than one.
Yeah, but I'm a lawyer, too. So
you could defend yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I do criminal defense and prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll do both sides, same case, just to keep it exciting for the jury.
Now, we were talking earlier about Baldwin being a pretty talented performer.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. But as a performer, not better than you, right?
No, well, that's one of the reasons he agreed to do 30 Rock, is that he wanted to pick up, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe get some sloppy seconds for me. Or
so it was one of these
know.
Things where it's yeah. like his agent, once he said that Friedlander was in, then Baldwin immediately signed on board.
Once I was on board, Baldwin was, you know, very excited.
And what about Tina Fey? One of your conquests?
How do you think I got on the show?
Tina Fey?
Well, that's all I can say. You know, I mean, this is show business. You know how it works in this town.
Right. You know how the game is played.
Yeah. So how do you think I get any gig?
Really? Jeez. So, for instance, you're going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight.
Yeah. I think it was the
Booker,
the
at
Women's
the club,
Society. No, the Women's Society of Irvine requested that I come down.
So. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
a lot of women's
groups, you know, request that I show up.
Interesting.
Have you done any nude modeling or pictorials?
I have. I had one up on my website last week for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I took
was
it down.
Was the server shut down or something?
No, that has happened though, and there is on my website a. There's a nude photo of me for sale, but it's sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can actually go to it. You can go to my website, worldchampionoftheworld.com. Go to the store. You'll see a photo of me.
Mm-hmm. So you only printed up a couple million copies.
They keep selling out, man.
Mm. Judah Friedlander here, by the way. Judah's going to hang out with us whilst T does the news. T?
Big record with set, Judah. What's the most DUIs any man in America has ever had?
Well, you have that.
I don't drink. I'm a role model to children.
Oh,
kids
yeah, right. I understand what the athletics.
If I drink, a foster child cries.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, Judah is one of these guys where he's a sort of tempo setter. If he starts drinking, everyone will start drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kids out there. But most DUIs, is that the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll say 40.
That's a lot.
40 seems pretty good. Now, in this, you know, and it is one of these things where it's like NFL records. They didn't keep the sack record back in the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
I don't feel like they've kept DUI records since the 30s and 40s.
The three-point stripe, you know what I'm saying, is a recent innovation.
Right.
Sort of the DUI.
Right, in hoops.
And
right.
It's only in national. It's not worldwide either.
This is just national.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if it was worldwide.
No, you go over to Mexico and there's guys that are into 9 and 10 digits over there. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. The record, that's the current American DUI record holder.
Right.
All right, we'll do
that. And
that
means they got caught, too.
No.
If it's a DUI, right?
Oh, no, my buddy Daniel has the record.
Okay.
He has circled the globe drunk 8 times.
Awesome.
But caught.
Yes.
All right, we'll do the record.
Okay.
We'll do the news. Judah Friedlander's here. Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. He'll hang in with us, and we'll do it next.
Podcast live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. Want to join us? Go to AdamCarolla.com to register to win a two-night stay at the Palms Hotel and Resort. Check out the broadcast Thursday night. And Friday night, see the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. The Mighty Mighty Bosstones live at the Palms Hotel, February 29th. Go to AdamCarolla.com to register to win tickets. And we'll see you in Las Vegas. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, Judah Friedlander here, everyone, from 30 Rock, and going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. World champion Judah Friedlander is going to hang in and do the news with us. Piece of news from yesterday that we didn't get to, something I spotted on CNN early in the morning yesterday, was the godfather of the guy who shot up the DeKalb, Illinois campus. Kazmierczak, his godfather, his toothless godfather, was on CNN, and I just want you to listen to his basic explanation of what his godson did, and then just listen to what the news anchor does under his breath when they come back.
And new details are emerging about the gunman who opened fire at Northern Illinois University. His godfather, Richard Grafer, reveals that Stephen Kazmierczak reached out to him just days before the shooting. Grafer, who hasn't spoken to his godson in years, says Kazmierczak called him wanting information about guns. But Grafer says he never saw signs that the 27-year-old was capable of such violence.
When they tell me that he's a monster and he's a killer and he's this and he's that, he's not.
Well, he did kill a lot of people.
Right. By the way, my parents and godparents and everyone else would sell me down the river so fast if I killed 10 people on some campus. I love the guys who stand by their team. You know, hey, he's not the, you know, that's not the boyfriend I knew. Oh, he wasn't a homicidal maniac when you guys were living together?
Let's face it. He's still not convinced he was a monster.
Or a killer.
He didn't kill enough people for him to really consider him a monster.
I'm tired of his name being dragged through the mud. Look, so you kill a handful of co-eds, and now all of a sudden you're some kind of homicidal maniac? Jesus Christ, give the kid a break. He's not. He's a great kid. He's awesome.
Don't focus on the negative.
Yes. Look. Oh, by the way, we're wasting time interviewing you. You should be writing a book on being a godfather. This is awesome. He called. He wanted some. He just wanted. He hadn't talked and spoken in 20 years, but he wanted to chat about small firearms. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people do that.
And I always love the part where there's no indication that the person was going to do this. When the guy goes out to buy the Glock and the AK-47 with the banana clip, I would go ahead and call that an indication. There was no sign he was going to go on a shooting spree, except for the part where he bought a bunch of guns and ammunition. Other than that, almost no signs at all.
No signs at all.
No. None. You couldn't tell. While he was buying the copious amounts of ammunition, the silencers, the handguns, you would have no idea that he was going to shoot anybody with those guns, even though they weren't hunting rifles.
People just aren't seeing the signs out there. And it's really an important issue.
You really got to open your eyes. And by the way, I also heard that it's the 1 year coming up on the 1 year anniversary of that massacre at Virginia Tech. And remember how we're not blaming the parents of the kid?
Right.
I'd say it's been a year. Let's start blaming the super troubled kid, the despondent kid.
Yeah. Sung
young shooter.
Right.
Some kid who sat there drawing a pentagram in his mashed potatoes during Thanksgiving, and you got him no psychiatric care. You, the parents, whose kid went on to kill 35 other kids. Remember how we can't blame those parents? It's been a year. Can we start blaming?
Yeah, people need to start looking at the bigger picture and the issues. And I think the real issue here, or one of the bigger issues, is suicide. Mm-hmm. If you look at all these guys, they killed themselves.
Right.
But they killed many people before that. I mean, that's a sign right there that someone might be suicidal. How many co-eds does a guy have to kill to send out a signal that maybe he's suicidal?
I would go ahead and ask all the folks that were thinking about taking out a group of coworkers before they then killed themselves, just kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about, you know, it's like, really, it's like, I'm going to go buy a new car, do some push-ups, mow the lawn, and then kill myself. How about you just kill yourself?
Yeah, don't do practice sessions. just do it.
Right. You're testing your gun out on eight other guys who work at the postal sorting plant with you.
Yeah, go to a shooting range
and shoot yourself at the shooting range.
Yeah. Somebody just did that. It was on the news this morning. Somebody went to a shooting range here in Southern California and shot themselves.
Hey, they should get a free pass for the next time they go there because it's such a good shot.
Forget about free, lifetime.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. When I'm in charge, I'm gonna put this offer out to all you parents out there who have despondent kids that are listening to Nine Inch Nails and wearing black leather dusters and eyeliner. If your kid successfully kills himself without taking out a bunch of classmates first, I'm going to give you like a gift certificate to Best Buy.
I think that should be on the presidential campaign, an issue that should be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's excellent. A
chicken in every pot and a bullet in every head of every troubled teen. And I do believe there was a time when you just killed yourself when you were despondent. You didn't go into your place of work or your school and kill other people first.
Don't take your problems to other people that don't even know you.
That's right.
By the way, there's a gender difference. I think women are gracious enough to just kill ourselves, usually.
Women, you guys don't do that. You don't go on your killing spree and then kill yourselves. You have the quiet dignity to kill yourself in your own apartment.
Occasionally we kill our kids.
Have your cats eat you. But yes, I agree. Once in a while you drown the kids, but that's just because they got the mark of the beast on them.
It's for the good of the community.
I agree. I would hate to be one of the guys who was being killed by the guy who's going to kill himself, because I feel like my last exchange with the guy would be, hold on. are you going to flee to Mexico? No, I'm going to kill you. Then I'm turning the gun on myself. Could you please just go ahead and kill yourself now?
Yeah.
This is not only going to be an awesome story for me to tell my kids who I'm never going to see again, but this is really the height of redundant and the height. We're really just spinning our wheels here. You're really going to kill yourself in what, the next 35, 40 seconds when the SWAT team converges on campus? Please kill yourself now. And by the way, don't kill me. Use me as a vessel. I will deliver a message. I will. What do you want to say?
That's a good idea.
Better. You kill yourself. You don't get into heaven. You give the gun to me, and I kill you. Then I kill myself. Take my word for it. I'll see you in heaven. Huh? No, I won't. I'll be in hell.
I think that's a good plan.
That's a good plan.
Colleges need to implement this.
All right. So the deal is try to talk the guy who's going. And again, here's my feeling. If you say you're going to kill me, and then you're going to hijack a plane and go to Mexico, go sick. Go sick. But if you're going to kill yourself in 5 minutes, come on.
Yeah.
That's a loss.
There have to be a lot of trust that you're actually going to kill yourself after you kill me.
Hey,
if
listen,
I spare you.
Man's word is his bond.
I just met you 5 minutes ago on this campus.
I will shoot your ass and then I will eat a bullet hand to God.
Come on now. I don't know.
Let me shoot you.
I don't.
Look, what do I got to do? Write it down? I'll put it in writing. I promise I'll kill myself.
I don't have time to get this notarized.
Kill yourself. I will pry the gun out of your cold, dead hands, and then I will put it right under my chin and blow my head off.
I feel like you're just going to leave.
No.
And just waltz out of here.
Ask anybody, by the way.
That cuts into my death toll here.
Look, ask anyone who's killed themselves before they were going to kill me. I always kill myself.
You do?
Yes.
I can trust.
That was what I was known for in high school.
For killing yourself.
That was your college entrance essay.
It was right on my brag sheet. Come on. I was in Madrinas Escuderos. It's a Spanish club. And then I was like the most likely to kill myself in best legs. It was a small school.
It's not fair to the other people I killed.
But look, are we going to argue?
I'll let you off.
Are we going to argue?
I've been burned before.
Are we going to argue or are you going to kill yourself and then I'll kill myself?
I don't know. I think I might still kill you and then myself.
Look, okay, I'll tell you what.
Kill you and then myself. I'm going to kill you sooner if you keep the yapping up.
Show a good faith.
Okay.
Go ahead and shoot me in the thigh. Just shoot me in the fleshy part of the thigh.
Come on, do it.
I'm just showing you. I'm not scared of bullets. Now go ahead.
The real show is, are you going to kill yourself so you would have to shoot yourself in the thigh? That's how I know that you're going to kill yourself. That's a show of good faith.
I feel like we're going in a circle at this point. Okay. You know what? Just kill me. I've had an ass full of you. You know what?
Same time.
Shoot yourself in the head. I hope you choke on that bullet. Goddamn. There used to be a time when you could look someone in the eye and shake their hands and promise to kill yourself after you killed them. And that was good. You know, if
the SWAT teams would show up earlier, the suicide would happen quicker, too.
Well, they do have to hide behind the doors of their cars. By the way, last time I checked, the door had about 32nd of an inch of tin that a bullet actually speeds up when it goes through a car door. But a lot of guys hiding behind car doors. Now, not only were you shot, but you were infected by the paint that was on the bullet as it passed through the car door. But yes, here's the thing. If my kid gets shot in the commission of a robbery, like the guy's robbing a liquor store, I get shot. The guy's robbing a bank, my kid gets shot, or I get shot. That's one thing. But if the guy shoots you and then kills himself.
Yeah, it's not cool.
That's a bummer.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Where were we?
News.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
You know what you become?
What?
Remember we were talking about the beef recall yesterday?
Yeah.
If I'm a cow and I'm going to be slaughtered, I'm pretty bummed out about it. But if I know I'm going to make a nice pot roast and a burger, so be it. But what if I get recalled? You know what I mean? Like Judah Friedlander.
Cool.
What if someone killed you?
Yeah, that's not
cool. Stripped you of your meat and then shipped you out and then went, oh, no, come back. Yeah, he's no good.
Yeah,
go ahead and throw that away.
Especially if there's the beef that gets recalled and it was perfectly fine beef.
Right.
It wasn't diseased beef.
Judah was fine,
cool.
But we recalled him.
That's not right.
Now you died for nothing.
It's not cool.
Mm-hmm. T, the news?
John McCain.
I'll kill him. And then promise to kill myself.
Well, his wife might feel like killing herself today. Rough day for Cindy McCain. Yesterday, the New York Times ran an article online, and today in the newspaper, alleging that John McCain had a scandalous relationship with a lobbyist. Back in 1999, when McCain was making his first run at the presidency, some of his advisors, who are not named in the New York Times piece, became worried, allegedly, about his relationship with 40-year-old Vicky Eisman, who is a telecommunications lobbyist.
Now, is McCain's wife like 20 years his junior,
She's
right?
She's quite a bit younger.
No, must have been weird. Must have been weird. So she was born in, like, I don't know, 1960 or something like that. So 1967, 68, McCain's in the Hanoi Hilton, right?
Yeah.
It'd be weird to pull aside an 8-year-old Mrs. McCain and go, hey, guess where your future husband is? I don't know, on the schoolyard? Nope. Riding on a seesaw? Nope. In a classroom? Nope. You want to keep going? There's this place called Vietnam. He's in a concentration camp. He's in a prisoner of war camp over there.
Oh, is it camp?
No, this ain't Camp Snoopy. It's not Jewish camps. He's being tortured by the Viet Cong right now. An 8-year-old?
He's making lanyards?
He's 41. He's being tortured in the Vietnamese. I mean, wouldn't it be weird if you could just pull people aside at whatever age they were and tap them on the shoulder? What is her name?
Cindy McCain,
and just pull her aside. She'd be 8 years old and go, yeah, you know where your future husband is? Being tortured in another country right now. That's awesome. I thought I was going to marry the kid next door. That's awesome.
It'd be hard if you found Larry King's current wife when she was on the score and you explained, you know that really, really old guy?
Yeah, you know the guy who slurps.
He's been married like 5 times.
You know the old guy slurps his soup really, really loud? That old buzzard? Yeah, that's your future husband. Awesome. All right.
It's very romantic.
It is romantic. Yeah.
Well, the story with this Vicky.
How long do you think Larry King would last in the Hanoi Hilton? 15 minutes? 20 minutes?
Are we talking current Larry King or at his prime?
Any Larry King. Larry King at any age.
About a minute.
He'd be like, what? No turn down service?
I think he has an advantage because...
This is the worst Hilton I've ever been to.
He's already desiccated. So I think if he didn't get any water, he can't get more dehydrated.
So you're saying no mint on the pillow, I get a cockroach?
I think he would do a one-hour interview show with them and then...
Live.
And then he would just fold.
Eventually he would bother them enough that they would free him.
And he would mispronounce the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And
I'm a Hilton Points Club member.
The Ho Chi Man Trail. How long have you been on this trail? Where is it and how can I have it? And is there do you eat trail mix on the Ho? Is there a Ho Chi Minh? Okay, let him go. He's driving everyone insane.
McCain's advisors.
I need suspenders on this prison jumpsuit. But it's a jumpsuit. I want suspenders. I know the Geneva Convention.
You think he would demand the right to soup?
Larry, it's a jumpsuit. I want suspenders and soup. Sorry.
McCain's advisors were convinced something was going on between the two of them. Perhaps something, you know, of a untoward relationship. They brought it up to McCain, and he admitted to, quote, behaving inappropriately and promised to keep his distance again.
Well, she's hot and she's blonde, and you're nice to hot blonde people.
Right. Well, they were worried that even if nothing was going on, the perception that something could be going on was bad enough. She's attractive. She's also a lobbyist. And, you know, some of the things she was lobbying for were things that he was going to vote on. So it could look very bad for him. This morning, John McCain and Cindy McCain gave a press conference from Ohio, and he gave his side of the story about Vicky.
Describe your relationship with Vicky Eisman.
Mm-hmm. Friends.
Wheelbarrow, mostly.
Seen her on
some reverse
occasions,
cowgirl.
Particularly at receptions and fundraisers.
Oh, relation. And, I get it. Sorry. Yeah.
I have many friends in Washington who represent various interests and those who don't. And
Did he say Washington?
Consider her a friend.
He said it twice. I feel like it'd be nice. Maybe if he runs, he can get Schwarzenegger to run as his vice president. He can mispronounce California.
Well, maybe he didn't have an affair with her in Washington. He had an affair with her in Washington.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. It'd be like, I'll bet you $1 million that the Giants aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Right, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't say dollars. Yeah. I said doll hairs.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, Washington. I like that.
Yeah, I was in Washington.
You make up a state that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then technically you couldn't have had sex with anybody in a place that never existed.
Yeah.
Ah, it's good stuff.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we spoke earlier. I'll get to this briefly.
How come whenever you get busted for cheating or accused of cheating, you have to go up there with your wife?
Those are the best press conferences, I just want
to
say. Because whether they did it or not, just the uncomfortableness that's there is just so entertaining.
Kobe's the all-time champ.
Oh, that was the best.
There's nothing better. And look,
she was a POW worse than McCain.
Yeah.
Mrs. Kobe, when she was dragged up there.
He's the world champion of those kind of press conferences.
Listen, my wife wanted to go to Oprah 2 days ago. I was like, are you high? No can do. But if I get busted for cheating, she's going to have to stand next to me the whole time. And there's a weird pose you have to strike because you can't look jovial, but you can't look too stern.
Yeah.
You have to look concerned, but yet dedicated. I'm not... Judah, would you like to try to make that face for us? Because I'm not sure what that face is.
It's that...
You don't want to cross your arms.
It's almost like if you're a parent and your kid was caught beating up another kid in school, you have to act...
I'm listening.
You act a little proud that, oh, okay, my kid beat up another kid.
And also, there's details. Did the other kid start the fight? Yeah. What happened? Yeah. Is your kid being falsely accused? No. Yeah, you don't go in there just kind of screwing around and playing grab ass.
Yeah.
You don't pull, like, you know, Tom Cruise on the sofa. On the other hand, you don't want to look weird and despondent either.
You know who had a very hard time?
Cautious support.
Yes. Mrs. McGreevy. Remember that press conference?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That may be the all-time.
I am a gay American.
I'm a gay American. I'm also gay when I'm in Cuba and in Mexico and Canada. I'm actually, wherever I go, I am gay that country.
I thought it was only in Washington.
I'm gay in Washington.
He's not gay in Washington.
I am a gay American. I had to be, hey, sweetie, I'm going to get up in front of God and everybody else on the podium and talk about just how much I love penis. I need you nearby.
I am a gay American.
If you could get the kids and trot them out.
Let's trot the kids out. Let's go ahead and get a nice group shot. Oh, sweetie, let's show a little cleavage. Fine, wear the red dress.
And
you
why did
awesome.
He even say that he was American? It's like, we kind of know he's American.
I am a gay.
You know why?
So he's trying to like.
He just wanted to say, I am a gay.
I am a gay.
Because that's what happens. Like, the red states are like, I am a gay. Like, we're going to kill this homo. American. He's okay by me. He put American behind. I am a pedophile American.
Yeah.
You put American behind whatever you
and
do.
It's all right.
Well, at least evens it out. It's a wash. It's a push. All right, T, you have more news?
I never got to the DUIs.
Well, Judah talked right through the first half of the news.
I'm sorry.
Get a word in edgewise. Judah Friedlander here, everybody. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv. He is a comedic American.
That's right.
And he'll be at the Irvine Improv tonight all the way through Sunday. We'll take a quick break. Rest of the news, the record for DUIs next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, my gosh, Adam, this is Heather Simpson from Tacoma, Washington. Been listening to your show for about a month and a half now, and it's awesome due to a friend's referral. And you've made me laugh every morning. I drive an hour and a half to Everett from Tacoma every day, and you keep me going. Keep it up. You guys are great, very entertaining, and mahalo to you.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I think we've broken our streak this morning, but either way, she's laughed. Every day up until today. Judah Friedlander here.
There's still time.
Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Yes, let's get a laugh at the last 5 minutes of the show. T?
Yep.
The rest of the news.
A 51-year-old man, Stephen Wolf of Hamilton, Ohio, has been getting DUIs for over 30 years.
Mm.
On Tuesday, a judge finally decided to revoke his license forever.
Finally.
Okay.
Why the rush to judgment?
Well, you're right. Should have given him a fair shake. It's only been 30 years.
That's right.
And in those 30 years, he got a large number of DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
But he still does not have the record in Ohio State. I only have the number for Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
This DUI was not the record, but it was one under in Ohio. Mm. 30 years of DUIs, just got his license taken away. 19. 20 is the record.
And the guy, every year when he doesn't get his record broken, him and Don Shula crack a bottle of champagne and then go on a road trip.
Right. Actually, the record is shared by two people.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
They can't travel together, by the way. If that plane goes down, You've lost two great Americans.
Record holders.
I do kind of feel like for my son, I hope he gets no DUIs. But if he does start racking up the DUIs, I say go for the gold.
I agree.
You know, second place is only first loser.
That's right.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
That's right. Big dad.
19 DUIs. He will be in jail for 8 years. I found this interesting. The Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they train cops to find drunk drivers on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing they look for, because this is most associated with driving drunk, turning with wide radius.
Mm.
Also, tied with that, straddling center or lane marker.
Mm. I would argue that takes more skill.
It does.
Yeah.
That's not that easy to do.
Tough to ride right down the middle that way. Yeah.
Almost striking object or vehicle. Now they look for that. Weaving.
Hold on. I can't write fast enough.
Weaving.
Swerving.
Vomiting.
Basket weaving.
Slow speed is another one.
Weaving, swerving. Wow. These guys are amazing. How can they tell? You mean if they're following a guy who's driving down the center line and weaving and swerving, he may be drunk.
Well, then you'll like
See,
this one.
See, this is why.
Calling his girlfriends.
Yeah.
These guys are multitaskers.
Stopping is one they look for. Stopping without cause in traffic lane.
Yes.
You know, I think I've done a lot of these.
Yes. Oh, let me guess. Vomiting out of the window while the car's moving.
Slow speed is kind of surprising.
Ejecting spent beer cans from the sunroof.
What, I mean,
if what
you
else?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a keg attached to the car, you got to go slow down a little.
These guys are masters of human nuance.
Oh, here's one. Yeah. Mm. Braking erratically.
Hey, that's profiling. You can't profile.
Driving into opposing or crossing traffic?
Hold on now. Now you've lost me. You're saying driving the wrong way on a one-way street is something you may do when you're intoxicated?
Turning abruptly or illegally?
Mm-hmm.
Accelerating or decelerating rapidly?
How about in L.A. where we have our multi-million-dollar freeway signs where they do nothing to report traffic or help anything move, but they do ask you to rat out your fellow motorist around the 4th of July when it says report drunk driving? Who's ever dropped a dime on someone driving drunk? I don't feel like I have.
No, I have not.
I feel that makes you a stoolie. I know it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I know people die every year. I just would never call in on a fellow motorist. I feel like it's us against them.
My parents did once.
They did.
I was a little kid, but there was a guy who was in the Bay Area. He was swerving. It was kind of dangerous. Like, he was like,
yeah,
making the cars get out of the
way. I think I would have to do that.
Yeah. All right.
I've heard drinking and driving can be dangerous. I've heard that.
My feeling is I stop the guy and I say, I'm thinking about calling the fuzz. What's it worth for you? For me to put down this cell phone right now.
Oh, I see. You're trying to get him to buy you off.
I shake him down. Mm-hmm.
How much is that going to be worth? Because that could be expensive hiring
a lawyer. I size him up. If he's driving a Lexus, could be a couple hundred bucks.
But this goes back to your tow truck incident.
Mm-hmm.
Guys aren't taking cash like they used to.
No, they are not. It's dried up for me. That's why I got this gig. T?
You can also look for headlights off.
Mm-hmm.
That's a... One of the signs that you're driving
drunk. Maybe they're just conserving energy, you know, like
That's
the
right.
green society.
That's right.
And also yelling out, I'm drunk. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
I feel like 19 or 20 DUIs. I mean, if we went to parts of Asia or Mexico and told them, hey, our champion has 19 DUIs, they'd fall over laughing. They're like,
I'm drunk.
They'd be like, our champion got that on the way to this meeting. You understand? And it's 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah, that's not even one per state in this country.
Yeah, you got to do better than that. There's a goal. DUI in every state
in every
the union.
State.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like going to the baseball stadium of every team.
Yeah, Hawaii would be tough, but I figure if you drove off the pier fast enough.
If you're drunk, you can drive to Hawaii.
No,
you can make it.
You really can. All right, and then the U.S. Virgin Islands. Don't get me started. Judah Friedlander here, going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Quick break, back to wrap it up next. All right. Well, just time enough to give time and give thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Erica
Ellison.
Ellison. I don't know why I can't get over that why. Erica Ellison, Penthouse Pet of the Year, out on newsstands. Nice article on me and Bonaducci in there simultaneously, and I think it's a pure coincidence, because he's on one page and I'm on another. Judah Friedlander, everybody. Irvine Improv, and at a gym or dojo near you as well, right, Judah?
Yeah, I'm actually banned from most dojos and gyms because...
breaking too much equipment?
Yeah, all the trainers at every gym is jealous of me, so right. I can't just go in any gym.
Sour grapes. He'll be at the Irvine Improv breaking bones and hearts tonight through Sunday, and you can listen to this show at free2hd at adamcarolla.com. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying... Mahalo. Hey, sweetie, I'm going to get up in front of God and everybody else on the podium and talk about just how much I love penis.